How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, kids.
Hey, Dad.
Sorry, I was eating salad before, John. I didn't think you'd really want to hear that.
No, I'm fine. I was walking around anyway, cleaning up my room.
Ooh, what happened to your nose?
I had surgery on us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, that's where skin is no longer present.
Ew.
Yeah, I had a lump on my nose since approximately summer last year. You guys probably didn't really notice it because it was just a little mark around Dragon Con, but it kept getting bigger. And yeah, and it was really big. It was like the point where it was like a really aggressive like pimple. And so I couldn't get rid of it. I tried a bunch of different things. So I went to the doctor to see if they could like get rid of it, like a wart. Like I thought it might be something like that. So they just like, you know, burn it off or something. But she says it was a cyst, and then I had to go get it looked cut off, essentially. And so I went. They sent me to a surgeon, a plastic surgeon, and the surgeon took one look at it and said the C word. And I was just like, "Yeah, I was just
like, oh, like a skin cancer."
Yeah. And she, but like the surgeon said, like in the most annoying way possible, it was kind of like, oh, like if you wanted any cancer, this is the cancer that you want. Like if you could pick a cancer, this is the cancer that you pick out of a lineup. So I was like, okay. And I was, of course, going white at this point. Like, and she kept asking me if I was okay. I'm like, yeah, I think so. So they booked me in the
Your
next
bedside
morning.
Manner's crap, though.
Yeah. I'm not coming to you again. But they booked me in the next morning for surgery to take it off. And it was like a local anesthetic. I was awake for the thing and it was in and out. It was easy enough. But they tested it. Turns out the general doctor, the GP, was right in the first place. It was just a cyst. There was nothing wrong with it. She panicked me for nothing, but they had to remove it anyway. That was the standard procedure, even if it was just a cyst, was to remove the lump. So, yeah. So that was my week last week.
Oh. Sorry, man. Did everyone have a crap week last week? It sounds like it.
It's just February, I guess.
Yeah.
Now it's March. Mine was part. Yeah.
What?
What? It's March.
Okay.
Oh, you just skipped, I think, Rocks, I think is what he's talking about. You went a slightly robo for a second.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. I am
so...
the logo thing that John has.
The logo? That's kind of... How do you do that?
It's in the toolbox. You see, in the Hangout menus, there's a toolbox, and in the toolbox, then there's a little kind of head symbol, and that lets you do it there.
There you go, Aaron.
Oh, okay. Toolbox. Ooh, look at that. All right. Is that a comment? What is? Oh, the head thing. Okay. Inner tagline. Okay. Evil genius. Yeah. Do, do, do. Choose a logo. Do I have a logo? No, I do not.
Hey, I created one for you guys.
My own. Where is it?
There's a link to it in the chat. Aaron's is the top one. I got one for you. Where's Rob at?
Huh. That's all right.
You too.
Oh, I'll get it later. Actually, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Hold on. Logo. What is that? What's that? There's so much stuff. Stuff I have to learn. My plans have been put on hold. Ooh, Rob, the other music guy.
What? What'd I do?
I don't know. I'm just looking at this, like, tag thing.
Oh, okay.
You're the other music guy. Boutel, what are your skills? What are you talented at?
Cunnilingus?
What?
Nothing?
So, Rox?
Yes.
Remember my friend Frank?
Yeah.
They got married.
Slip Mahoney, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Frank. Frank, yes. Yeah, you said that they were getting married or they eloped or whatever.
They basically went to the courthouse. They both work at Washington University. So they went to the courthouse during their lunch break, got married, went back to work. And then he calls me. Calls me at 10 p.m. that night going, hey, faggot, let's go drink. which is code for I need to actually talk to you. So then they decided to tell both their families like a week later.
Oh, so the families are not happy because they probably wanted this amazing wedding thingy. No, Frank's
apparently not telling anybody anything. It's hilarious.
Oh, all right.
Like, I'm not going to tell them your book's coming out till afterwards.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Sky.
Hi.
Hi, Widge.
God, y'all seem about as awake as I feel.
Well, woo-hoo. You know.
Yippee.
Woo! Ow!
We switched the Weekend Justice Crew's coffee, their regular brew, with decaf. Let's see if anyone notices.
Now,
what did you do?
Am I right in thinking that we were recording this, even though the last one we recorded hasn't gone up yet?
You are correct.
Okay.
What happened to you? What?
Aaron,
what happened to your nose?
Oh, you'll have to listen to the podcast to find out, Scott. I've already told the story.
Yeah.
Fuck.
We moved on.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I'm going to give myself a little jolt here.
Oh really?
Hey, whoa.
Oh, God. I'm so glad my video is not on. He's not breaking out a fleshlight, is he?
No.
Oh, thank fuck
no.
That's no fleshlight.
God.
Fleshlights are not dumb. I mean, I heard it from a friend.
Ooh, hey, I just joined a secret club on Facebook.
Of course you did. Mm-hmm. Why are any of us surprised?
Nobody's ever really invited me before, so...
Well, that's because they're afraid of you taking
over. Oh, that's so funny. No, I volunteer at this defunct or abandoned school called Public School Number 4, the Annie Lytle School.
Is that the one we went to?
Yes, it is. Forever in weird Florida. It has been called the Devil's High School, of which it's really an elementary school. So, I know.
Wait. Why is it the Devil's High School?
Oh my gosh, because there's so many rumors. One was there was a murder, okay? One was the boiler room blew up. It's a 100-year-old school, okay? And it closed in 1969 because of I-95. I-95 had a flyover overpass too close, so they closed the school. But when they did that, you know, rumors started ever since like 1969. And for some reason, people, you know, it became known as the Devil's High School. One was the custodian was the one murdering people, almost like, you know, groundskeeper Willie
okay.
from Simpsons.
Wait a minute. How is it that you are just now joining a place like this?
I didn't know that there was a preservation group. Didn't know. I mean, I've gone in there. I've taken Rob and Janet there.
Yes.
Of course you have.
It's like, hey, I sign a waiver and I go over and I, you know, remove plaster and stuff. And it's actually fun. And the thing is in the secret you know, Clubhouse on Facebook, I left a bunch of cilantro. I went to the market and...
How did you leave cilantro on Facebook?
I was wondering the same exact thing.
I left it at the Devil's High School. I call it the Devil's High School. I left it at the Devil's Cilantro. I know. And I get this frantic email from one of the women. Her name's Patsy. And she's you know, she takes all the photos. And so she's like, oh, my God, somebody, you know, left this as a message. Because... the building is now secure. Now, Rob knows that we kind of just waltzed in, you know.
Yeah, it's not really secure.
Well, now it is. And the thing is Rob, we actually have our own security. There's some women and some people who they volunteer to, you know, night security. So that the vandals don't go in and you know, mark it up and, you know, trash it. Because there was several...
The barbarians? The vandals?
Yes, the vandals. Yeah. The goths,
The Visigoths. What about the Hottentots?
What about Martha Ray?
No, I don't have that. Martha Ray, yeah, you know, she's a big problem, I'll tell you. Anyway, like, somebody set fire to one of the rooms... and we were clearing out this, I think it was a kindergarten on Saturday, kindergarten room. And this one woman, and the thing is there's no electricity. So we all have the little spotlight headlamp things and giant, you know, I've got the industrial, you know, breathing apparatus. And all of a sudden I hear, flash a light over here. And so she's like freaking out because we're pulling up rug, tile, and then flooring, wooden flooring. We thought would be good, but we found termites. 100-year-old building. So anyway, she sees this like little shiny liquid stuff, and she swore it moved. I'm like, oh my God, didn't you watch, you know, Alien? What was that, Genesis? Was it Alien Genesis?
Prometheus,
yes. It was so funny. She's like, I thought it moved. It's like, that's water. Yeah. So
wait a minute. So this is the person who thought the cilantro was a message?
No, it's another person, but Patsy thought it was a message. Because people leave, you know, messages like, you know, you're going to die, bitch, and stuff like that. Because they can't get into the building anymore. You know, all the, you know, homeless...
cilantro means cilantro.
Was mine. I was gonna have it for a breakfast.
No. I'm not questioning you.
Wait,
I'm
hold on. Wait, we eat
somehow things.
Oh, I don't know.
Spices.
Let's see. What did? Oh, okay. Hold on.
Do you eat only cilantro for breakfast?
No. Hold on. Patsy wrote this. Is this a greeting? Is it this greeted us? I don't know. Tim pulled weeds. Did he put a rubber band around them? They look more like herbs of some kind because they're just sitting there. So, and Tim never responded.
Is this a deal or what?
She thought it was, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, because she said this other guy who does photography, she's like, he's been going up to Fernandina and he's been talking about voodoo lately.
Oh,
it's a big mix of people that, like, you know, hang out at this building. I'm just saying.
Okay, Rox. Now, allegedly, hypothetically, have you taken anything?
No, not yet. Well, waiting for us to go to the boiler room.
Scott, if she'd taken anything, she's not going to admit it on the podcast.
I said, hypothetically, allegedly, have you taken anything?
No.
Hypothetical.
I haven't figured out what I want yet.
You're spoiled for choices.
And here's the thing, Scott. No, here's the thing. The termite thing is a big deal. So somehow it's like, you know.
God knows what would happen to termites if they started at Spaz House.
Oh, I know.
These are very scary.
Because my house is that was ants.
That's right. Sorry.
So basically, if the termites are trying to eat a 100-year-old house, they might want some cilantro to kind of make it taste a little different.
Yeah.
Would a 100-year-old house taste like gone-off meat? Would that be kind of... Is there a use-by date for wood?
Well, is there
it's really to get taken care of. It's probably like beef jerky.
Is there an expiry date for buildings? That's what I want to know.
No, because then they become ruins.
Also, for the record, beef jerky tastes like ass, so...
Well, that's where they get it from, on the cow, dude.
All right. So that's what you like it, Scott.
Hey!
Oh, and I'll tell you one thing. These photos, I look like a day laborer.
Hey, Aaron, now we know why he likes to snap into a Slim Jim.
Ooh.
Here, I'll do a screen capture. You guys
Scott's gay.
Get out of it. Scott's gay. Really? Oh, my God.
For those new to the podcast.
How did that happen?
You could do a shirt.
Sometimes
you do
we make too many euphemisms. I just love to state the obvious.
Rox, you could do a screen share there.
He's full-time, folks. Aaron's full-time.
How do you
full-time
that?
Funny.
Oh, yeah, so you have to tell us how your gig went.
The cake. Can Mom throw away?
Mom throw away the
No,
cake.
First of all, we got to listen to John's... I'm going to say daughter on the limb, just in case her boy or his son hasn't broken his voice yet.
There's a disintegrating...
All right, throw away the cake.
What in the hell?
Yeah, daughter, boom.
Oh!
Yeah. What about cake? And did you bring enough for the rest of us?
What?
Oh, I got it. I got it at the Blue and Gold banquet the other day for Cub Scouts.
I thought you were out of that.
It was my last official function.
Blue and Gold, did you mean black and white?
What's that?
No.
You said blue and gold. Did you mean black and white?
No.
No, I meant blue and gold.
No.
God.
No.
Topical.
No.
Right. Topical, folks.
Full-time funny. Basically...
I just got it.
It was weird.
Oh, Jesus, John!
It's a thinker, folks. The gig went okay. It was challenging, because it's your first gig anyway, so you're always going to make mistakes and learn. But it didn't help that the MC was fucking awful. And just killing the crowd. And then the first guy up, was doing so badly that he actually said the words into the mic, "Fuck it, I'm just going to leave it there," and walked off.
Wow.
It was going well. But, it in the end, I went through my material too fast because it was an act of self-preservation. I was like, I won't give them time not to laugh. I sped through everything a bit too much, but I get the impression from the general reaction that it was okay, but let's say C+ could do better.
See me after class.
Yeah. Right, Miss Rock's house, I believe you're coming out to me.
Are you trying to seduce me?
That's the quote.
I expect you to die.
That's a bit of a mixed reference there.
I know.
I just have to book more gigs now and get better at it.
So how big was the audience?
It was a small enough crowd. It was maybe 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all right when you're starting, because you don't want to.
All right, did you do geek humor? What kind of humor did you do?
I essentially told a lot of the story that I told to you guys the last time we were recording, involving my ex-girlfriend, her father, the dog, and the sex we were having.
Ah, okay. Doing anecdotal sort of humor.
Yeah, I think that's where I feel more comfortable. I'm not a real kind of, here's a one-liner sort of guy. I like kind of telling weird stories about weird stuff I've been doing. I don't have a lot of material at the moment. I've probably only got about 10 minutes max, but it's all that kind of stuff.
He's still young, Rox, remember?
Right, yeah.
He's not like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the closest to me in age?
Thank you for saying in age.
How old are you again?
I am 31.
I'm
lucky.
43, so...
41. Yeah, so... I think it's me.
Scott wins.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yay, you win the big prize, Scott. Woo.
Which is some more beef jerky.
It means something else in his community, though.
All right, there's my
Okay, if beef jerky
my day labor picture.
If beef jerky was a sex position, what sex position would it be?
Oh,
apparently I need to ask for permission.
Actually, I bet it is a sex position. Let me look it up on Urban Dictionary.
I can't
probably
get to it, Rox.
Something to do with the dry vagina.
With whose Dinah? What?
Dry vagina.
Someone's in the kitchen vagina? With a dry vagina.
Wow. Yeah.
Someone's in the kitchen,
you know,
I know.
Drought conditions are bad all over.
Man, true. Tell me about it.
Access denied. Oh, it says you need permission. Okay.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
What do I do?
I don't know.
Give us permission. Give us permission now.
Apparently beef jerky is just a masturbatory euphemism.
That's it?
All right. Wait, really? What do I do? All right, wait. Stop.
No.
What? Circle jerky? What?
No.
What?
All right, what do I do?
I don't know.
What do I do with this day labor
picture?
What
are you trying to do? Are you asking about what to do in life, or?
No. I want you guys to see this day labor picture.
Is someone giving birth? What's going on?
What? I put a link in. I put a link.
Yeah, I know. It says I need permission.
What do I do?
Give me permission.
How do I do this?
All you have to do is just say it out loud. I give you permission, and it'll magically work.
Go ahead.
It's like vampires and I'm getting into your house. I renounce my permission.
Oh, see, the problem is she's put garlic, virtual garlic, across the opening to Google Docs, so...
Did I?
I'm not going to be able to get in.
How do I do it? How do I give you permission?
I don't know. I mean, if you haven't figured out how to do it by now...
I don't know Google Rocks. Oh, my God. Hey, hate you.
CilantroPicture.com.
That's not cilantro.
CorianderPicture.co.uk.
Oh. I wish they all could be coriander girls. What?
Coriander? Coriander him too.
Yes. Coriander, that is the secret identity of Starfire from the New Titans.
I feel if you say like on us Firestorm, never mind. I was gonna say if you say Firestar too often, Shag will show up.
No, I think if you say Firestar too often, the shaggy dog that Aunt May had in the animated cartoon shows up.
You mean Miss Lion?
Firestar
Miss Lion,
too often.
Thank you.
Who seems to be a boy?
Did you pick up Miss Lion and check?
No, they established that in Lockjaw the Pet Avengers.
What?
That Miss Lion is a boy.
I did not read that.
Much like the TV show you didn't watch and the music you didn't listen to.
I was unaware that Miss Lion actually released an album.
Alright, so...
Is that any relation to White Lion?
Seven.
But if Miss Lion was a sexual term on your dictionary, what would she be? Hold on. Is it Miss Lion as in, like, you know, roar lion?
Yes, like in the roar.
Right.
Like Katy Perry?
Folks, Miss Lion is not in the Urban Dictionary, so if you want to get on that, you can create a new entry.
What would Miss Lion be?
All right, Scott, you got permission.
Is it all one word?
No, it's two words.
I miss. All right.
Yay! Yes. Widge, you got permission.
Thank you.
Tell you don't get permission.
All right. Then this.
Yes. We got it. Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey,
Wait, hold on a second. How could you bring it up with everything both of you?
What's that?
Because he's a dick, that's why.
Because it's... His powers of evil grow stronger as the live-action movie continues production.
Oh, my. They have trending words on Urban Dictionary.
Trendy words?
No, trending. Like, you know, like the same way Twitter has, like, you know, what's trending right now.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary has what's trending right now. So what do you think the kids are all looking up? Because these are amazing.
God, I have no idea. I barely know the vocabulary of 20 years ago, much less today.
Okay. Well, one is a rusty trombone, which I think you'll know. That's number 10.
Okay.
And number nine is a blumpkin. Does anyone have a guess to what a blumpkin is?
Oh, that's when you shit on somebody's chest.
That's a Cleveland Steamers, dude. You know that.
No! Are you sure this is also a blumpkin?
Well... You were close. It's the delicately balanced art of getting your cock sucked while taking a dump.
Okay. Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Good.
Wow. Well, the fact that Scott even got partial credit on that.
yeah, he gets points.
Is not surprising, is what you meant to finish that sentence with.
I find somewhat disturbing and not surprising, but also disturbing. Did I mention disturbing?
Need Coffee is no longer presenting.
Yeah, I just got that message as well.
Okay, at number 8 is a Alabama Hot Pocket. Who wants to have a stab at that?
I do not want to stab that. No, sir, do I not want to stab that. Who knows what filling might come out?
Ooh.
Knowing Urban Dictionary, it's probably shit.
There's always shit involved, isn't there? And you're right, Scott. There is shit involved once again.
Oh no! Oh, I just looked. Don't read that. No.
You didn't do a Google image search, did you?
No. Yes, yeah. I did. Don't. No, I didn't do an image search. No.
No. I think when it comes to this stuff, I don't think it's stuff people have actually done.
No. No. These are definitely things made up by children who have never even seen a vagina.
Right. Or Germans.
Or penis. Or anything. I think it is like something. The worst thing is, because it's the internet, somebody is going, that's scary. Somebody's going to read that. It's like, oh, let's try that. And, oh, God. And mental scarring happens.
That's why I'm not looking at it.
What makes me laugh is the word pussy is at number 4 in the 10 words trending right now on Urban Dictionary. So obviously these are people who don't even know what that is.
I think that says something about the demographic.
Yes, exactly. Let's hope no one's done these things.
But a furry is at number 5. And can I say the definition of furry on Urban Dictionary has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 paragraphs.
That's okay. Not a dictionary entry. That's an encyclopedia. That's wrong.
But I like the very last paragraph, which just says... In conclusion, as with any hobby, there are some furries that have taken it too far and or perverted what for many is a fun, harmless hobby.
So this is somebody's term paper that they've basically copied to Urban Dictionary.
Okay, click on... No, click on...
Okay.
No, don't click on any of it.
God. You saying click on, and then whatever follows that, nobody's going to click on.
Well, did you look at the thing from the Marvel about Miss Lion?
Marvel? What are you, British now? What?
No, I put a link up from the Marvel Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
Yeah, see? Who is male, but for some unknown reason. So Miss Lion is a guy.
Okay. And his picture makes it look like he's on drugs.
Considering Aunt May, probably all the shit she takes, he probably is.
I guess.
You know, she probably dropped one or two. He took some, and he's just tripping balls.
Are you seeing the same picture I'm seeing?
No, we're not doing blue and white and shit now. No, we're not doing that.
What?
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 What picture are you seeing?
What is happening?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
All I can say is podcasting gold.
I know. I'm just so confused. But then again, this is normal for Weekend Justice.
What do you think you see, Don?
I see Miss Lion. That's a dog.
Right.
Okay.
Then what's your problem?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. At this point, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, he stopped presenting, so he doesn't know what's happening.
So, yes, Miss Lion is a boy.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we've established that. That had been gnawing at my subconscious for years, and I didn't even realize it. Speaking of which, you guys have seen the Daredevil trailer, right?
Yeah. Yep.
No, I have not.
It is happy.
Wow, well, really?
I think it's happy.
It makes
you, mean
you
to make
happy.
You happy.
It is not happy.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, it brings the happy.
But it itself is not happy. It is grim and dark and is going to kick your ass.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, what Widge is referring to is that Adam Sandler's character, Happy Gilmore, makes a surprise appearance in the Marvel Netflix series.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been too long since my last confession.
Wait a minute. What was the name of that guy? What is that? What is happening?
Preoccupied of late with questions
of morality.
What
happens when you turn off the screen? Can't see.
Yep, but this is important that I not know what's going on.
Good and evil.
I'm trying to protect myself.
I was looking at the Daredevil teaser trailer.
Oh. Yes, and they've released a picture of Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, so that's cool. So, what were the names? Damn it. What was the name of the... Oh, maybe it's in Lesser Foes.
What are you talking about? What name?
Basically, it's a Spider-Man villain, a trio of villains, who one of them was like a... Oh, wait. There it is. The Enforcers. That's right. Montana Ox and Fancy Dan, and in the new series, Happy Gilmore as well.
Bullshit.
Hey, Aaron started the joke. I just spent a long time looking up the rest of the joke.
Seriously,
because I'm only part-time comedy and he's full-time, so I gotta work harder.
I know. Don't feel bad about it though. I mean, I've had all of like a couple of weeks experience at this, so you know, you gotta understand. I'm all hot.
I did
He's
not,
all about the comedy.
Understand,
the comedy. The comedy.
Speaking of Spider-Man foes, I did not
no
understand
drama.
That the Sinister Six, right? They have also been the Sinister Seven and the Sinister 16, but the Sinister 12? That's not alliterative. I don't think that's allowed. Oh,
well, Dirty Dozen was taken, so...
That's never stopped them before. So... Basically, the new Spider-Man film, does anyone know if because of that they're abandoning all their other Spider-Verse stuff?
Yes.
No.
Oh, thank God.
I thought they weren't. I thought they were still going for a Sinister Six movie.
No, I got canned.
Yay!
So Sony is doing nothing Spider-Man.
No,
they on their own.
Technically are
really?
Still doing Marvel movie. They own the rights. They're just not like take. They're not looking after the production side of it. They're just letting Marvel do that. They're still getting like a cut of the profits. So they're still gonna make a shit
well,
ton of
yeah,
money.
Yeah,
out
no, yeah, but I've sworn I heard that they were still Sony was still developing Spider-Verse stuff on their own. Huh.
Oh, that's right. He's writing. Drew Goddard is the guy that they're looking at directing it. He was previously attached to direct Sinister Six, but he writes and executive produces Daredevil, and he made his directorial debut with Cabin in the Woods, which was awesome. So, and can I just say, I feel really bad for Andrew Garfield because. I thought he was a great Spider-Man, and he deserved a better run at it.
He deserved a halfway decent movie.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed the first one. I know I'm one of the few people on the planet who did, but...
I was about to say, it was at least halfway decent. Not fully decent, but halfway.
They at least got the character right. They made him banter, which I think is the first time that's happened since... Well, like the animated series.
The Electric Company?
Yes.
That's true.
Or the Nicholas Hammond did a little bit too.
The what?
The TV series with Nicholas Hammond, he bantered a little bit in that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, never mind. Kids ask for parents.
There is that. So I assume everyone else is, watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point?
Is it back on your side of the water yet?
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yep. So,
and do we want to talk? Do we want to sort of sum up Agent Carter?
I don't know if Lee's going to show up or if Ken's going to show up. So we could do it, and then we could do it in a sane manner. And then when they show up and squee, they can just do that for about 5 minutes, and we could all go take a bathroom break or something. That's
good
shit.
It's cute that you think they'll only do it for 5 minutes.
Well, I say that, Aaron, because I'll edit it down to 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And I'll probably pitch shift it so it's not making our listeners' ears bleed.
I mean, you can go get a Blumpkin while they do that.
Hey, what is a if that's a Blumpkin, then what is a Willy Blumpkin? Is that something Fantastic Four related?
I don't know, but I look forward to the autumn season when you get a pumpkin spice Blumpkin.
Oh, God. Oh. I would like one of those and make it a venti, please.
Actually, I'm just going to tweet pumpkin spice Blumpkin and see if anybody actually bothers to look it up. I just want to see the horrified reactions.
This is how...
What?
This is how Twitter scandals start, folks. You're watching it here.
Ooh. What? What did I miss?
Rox just woke up.
No, I had to
She's
go.
She's been off day laboring.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
You don't want to know. We're trying to scare you.
Know.
No, we could sum up Agent Carter. I think we could sum up Agent Carter by saying exactly what I said, which is I'd like season two, please.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
And like I said, I kind of want Agent Carter in Roswell. It's just
no. That was a great idea, Scott. I mean, you're the one who pointed.
Okay,
it out.
Well, you said so. I didn't know.
No. I mean, while I'm always afraid of that because that's aliens is where Crystal Skull went. For those of you who don't know, there was a vicious rumor that there was a fourth Indiana Jones film.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Who knew? I never heard of it.
Well, that's good. That's good because it was kind of like ranks up there with other great hoaxes like those pulled by Barnum and, Piltdown Man.
Yes, indeed.
And Godfather
and the original trilogy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, just so you know, here's the cool thing about Barnum is he hoaxed a hoax and won in court.
He loves the dance.
He hoaxed
it was
hoax.
There was the Cardiff Giant and he created a hoax of the hoax of the Cardiff Giant, buried it, or there was a lawsuit on that. It was interesting and he actually won and he said like mine was fake all along. Man was a genius. And you know what? Here's something interesting. I believe that Susie Orman got all of her financial tips from a book that he wrote called Making Money. I'm not kidding. I actually posted a Twitter post to her Twitter feed. I'm like, did you get this from Barnum?
He's like the normal version of you.
Then I got blocked.
You got blocked?
Bitch.
Are you serious? You got blocked?
Yep.
She can't handle the truth. See, Barnum would have come up with a good story. She didn't block you. That's wrong.
Really? I mean, come on. I find information, you know, ask Dindrain. All of her information comes from 2,000 years ago for all, you know, that's why she's smart. Mine's a couple hundred years ago, you know. We just call through the information and it's all still pertinent. Susie Orman's been, you know, plagiarizing from, you know,
P.T.
Barnum.
Yeah, if you go to our seminars and you see a sign that says, come see the egress, then you know.
It's welcome to the egress. It was this way to the egress is what he
said. Welcome to the egress. We have fun games.
Yes.
Well, that was the joke. There wasn't.
I still want to do a P.T. Barnum panel at Dragon Con. I do.
Well, find somebody.
I've actually asked Lee because it would be under cryptozoology. You know, there's the Fiji mermaid, the Cardiff giant, stuff like that. Yeah.
And those are just people at the convention.
Yes, this is true.
Well, the best thing would be to just announce it and it would be a hoax and, you know, we wouldn't even be there.
I know. Oh, my God. Yes, it's all a hoax.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so anyone else on Agent Carter, or is that all the same stuff we want to talk about?
I just wish they would, like, have it on this side of the water. No, already. Getting tired of this shit, waiting for it.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of stuff over there that we don't get here.
I'd be interested to see if it does get renewed, if they go with this sort of shortened miniseries type.
Yeah, I think so.
They try for a regular size series.
No, I think they'll keep it the way it is.
Well, the only other thing that they could do is they could save the interim between two halves of a season of something else for, in essence, you know, you could do an 8-part something and then just not renew something, or you could just tell a story and be done.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of options. But
I'm excited about.
Can you tell us on the podcast?
Oh yeah, you care about this. It's day 3 of Luther.
Oh, that's right.
What?
That's right. We're getting a fourth series of Luther.
Yay! So could we talk about what has just started up?
Like,
oh,
what?
actually, Wedge, have you been watching? How what? Far did you get in Fargo?
I'm still on episode 2.
Did you like episode 2? Because we talked about episode 1.
Is that penis love, Scott?
So far, so good. But like I said, still thus far, I kind of have to do it in stages because when Billy Bob leaves leaves the screen, I just go, oh, don't go. Be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody in it is doing a really good job. It's mm-hmm. just that it's like it's like, you know, the few episodes of Once Upon a Time I saw. It's like, oh, well, you've got everybody else, and then there's I'm blanking on the guy who plays Rumpelstiltskin, but
oh, that guy.
Robert Carlyle.
Yeah.
What's that?
Robert Carlyle.
Carlyle.
Yes, thank you. I don't know why I blanked on it. But you know, it's one of those things where you just go, oh, well, I'm so glad they could afford to bring you into this, you know. Or James Spader with Blacklist. I mean, it's just – he's just so awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's just – and Rox, I can see why you – this is almost like they've taken bits of your life and made it even more menacing. I'm sorry, I'll need to see some ID. No, you don't.
God, I know. You know, it's like going through what I'm trying to accomplish, and I've explained it to a couple people. You have to think like a villain, and then you ratchet it back for normal people. That is my thinking.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think pretty much – everyone on the podcast and most of our listeners are nodding to themselves right now.
Yeah, so like, yes, of course, that's what she does.
That'll be your next book. Think like a villain.
but just ratchet it back.
Yeah, that's the subtitle. In parentheses. I like it.
Well, you know, the thing is, well, honestly, okay, we can talk about this because, you know what, they did a really cool thing on Gotham. Okay. I know you have your issues. I don't anymore because I stopped. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I'm still watching.
No, go for it.
And, okay, because of this thing I'm working on, I'm also having to look at, you know, oddly enough, becoming a leader of some sort, you know, of, you know, managerial whatever. And Batman's not a leader. The villains in the Batman world are. It's like one of those things we've always wondered. It's like, how do you become a supervillain? How do you create followers? And of course, we can probably bring that show up too. Of how you gain followers. And Fish Mooney is fantastic. I mean, we have talked about her as a character, you know, but what she – oh, my God. What she did in the last couple episodes, I watched the show for her and a couple – I like that. And a couple of the other villains, like Don Falcone and Fish Mooney. To me – you know, the whole gym thing is a sideline. I just watch it for how to succeed as a manager or, you know, somebody out of an organization. She actually did this amazing spoiler where she sacrificed a body part to prove a point.
I see your point.
Holy crap.
And it was just your point.
Amazing. So, yes, you can take leadership cues from Gotham's villains, you know.
That's a series of essays waiting to happen, I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. Yes. I mean, it's just, like I said, you think like a villain. The problem is when you go, you know, you're thinking of doing a business transaction, the problem is your emotions get tied up into this. And it's sort of funny. There's a really cool TED talk I can recommend. This guy's name's Ted Powell, and he did this TED talk in October, and it's called The Drunken Monkey. What he calls it is when your emotions overreact to your thinking, and you let that run away with everything. And I've heard that actually.
Where he's talking about having to deal with your inner monkey.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I had that coffee funky, with him and his wife because I'm working on my other project, which is, you know, my memoir of 2014. So we were sort of comparing people who go through trauma because his wife had breast cancer 10 years ago and what they went through and were able to thrive. Because I have actually a control. If I use myself as an experiment, I actually have a person who's actually a control, who is not farther along than I am, in the same situation. So there's this whole really kind of cool thing of doing research of yourself as an experiment. So anyway, I'm still watching Gotham. But not for the reasons everybody is about Jim Gordon. It's all the villain stuff, really. I see it as like a surreal world. I don't really place much of, oh, hey, there's the Joker, there's whoever. I'm not doing that. You know, it's like, you know, John asked me, you know, at Dragon Con, what do you see when you walk through Dragon Con? You know, it's my own little world. So, of which... we can talk about the following has just started up. And
yeah, I was going to ask about leadership qualities you could get from the following, but I figured you were going to get there.
Hey, it's Tuffley.
Hey.
Let me see the man.
I don't know. The thing is they don't do – you know, here's the thing.
There's not much leadership on the following.
No, there really isn't. And I've said this at the panel that when they're doing it wrong, whereas Fish Mooney is willing to – sacrifice a bit of herself.
Literally.
Literally. And the people who are subservient to her are like, oh my God, she's the real deal. Where, you know, I don't even know. So, Wid, you watched all of the last season? Did you
watch?
Yes.
Yes,
so,
I did.
So you now know that the one son is still around. Somehow he got he got like 3 followers. It's like, how? He's I don't know how.
Well, it's kind of like if you leave your Twitter account and you don't really do anything for it for a year, you at least get 2 people.
Okay.
So, that sort of thing.
Wow.
So basically, you think that his followers are spam bots, is what you're saying?
Probably,
I think so.
Are they real people?
Yes. And I guess we can bring up – so I watched the first episode of that, and I'll probably not watch it because it just didn't hold my interest. You know, Joe is still around, of which it's sort of funny if you – going through this for myself and then looking at, you know –
But it's a new case, right?
Kind of. Well, not really because – no, because remember that family with the mom and the two – creepy sons?
Yeah.
Okay, one of the sons is still alive. He gained the Twitter bot followers.
Oh.
Joe is in jail. They're waiting for him to be executed, which you know now he's gonna escape.
Again.
Blah blah blah. Again. So I'm writing that show off.
I would even love
though,
it.
If... Even though Kevin Spacey or Kevin Bacon's good. Well, I just can't now.
Well, I think what would be awesome is if they actually did kill him, you know? Because part of the thing that show did really well in season one was they did exactly what you weren't expecting to. It was like George R. R. Martin when he's completely on his game, in that you can't see the curve coming. But then when you look back from where you're after the curve, it's clear as day. You're like, mm-hmm. Well, of course. Well, mm-hmm. It couldn't have happened any other way, but it's that organic. And that thing of the whole first season of, oh, well, we're just going to maim this person, and this person's going to die, and oh, yeah, we're going to put her in a box and kill her. And it's just like, holy shit. So, but it lost that in season 2.
Well, it
lost. It seemed like they really were kind of surprised they got season 2.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I noticed that happens a lot to some shows, especially the newer serial shows like that, that try to push everything into season 1, not expecting to get the second season.
Well,
and then they get the second season.
See, part of it is that they could have done it so differently. I mean, I would have, I think I said on the podcast, I would have loved it if the whole mystery of Joe being dead, if they had just left that alone for at least half a season.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden he shows up and you go, oh shit. So that you get to the point where you just think, I don't know, maybe he is dead. And then that's when he shows up.
I had problems. I mean, I had problems even from the first season. And I think I mentioned this about the whole, ooh, how, you know, of, you know, nobody knew how deep, you know, his following went, which would have been really cool if it went really, really. But it's like, here's just a nut job. You know, so when I found out that, you know, just another group of militia, you know, it was like the whole helicopter thing. It's like, ooh, hey, who does he know? And how come there's no license on that? This is the way my brain works. Like, okay, I'm trying to find out what's going wrong. In their how they're, you know, formulating their little cult.
You're critiquing.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
You should be a consultant for organizations like that.
Yeah.
I just hire you.
Okay.
You know, it's entirely possible.
Their market share.
You know, it's entirely possible the following is going to get canceled and replaced by Luther.
Hmm.
Because Fox is doing the U.S. version of Luther.
Oh, with who?
I have no idea, but Idris Elba is one of the producers. It's possible they may try a Grace Point again, but I don't know.
Oh.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I haven't even started watching Broadchurch season 2 yet.
No, I haven't yet either. And I start the season pass. We actually were doing it at America pace. So our season pass starts tonight. So that and Shield, I am both avoiding right now.
Why Shield?
Yeah.
Well, no, because we usually watch it on Wednesdays at Lee's house.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
So speaking of like our go ahead.
Broadchurch is Shield's on purpose. Broadchurch is because I don't have cable right now.
Oh. Speaking of the other sort of crossover, we're at series 3 of House of Cards,
which I have not started yet.
I have. And I've stopped binge watching.
Really?
I've stopped binge watching 8 hours in.
Wow.
Oh, well, you had to get through 8 episodes to decide that.
You know, I could have done it earlier. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The third one with Ian Richardson was, I think, the weakest one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they're thinking series 4 on this. The problem is there was an Esquire article. And the problem with Absolute Power here opposed to Absolute Power over in Great Britain is they can get stuff done over there. I guess Barack Obama actually – has been watching and actually has said, oh my God, this guy can actually get stuff done because it, you know, everything churns so slowly here. It's like they're floundering. So all of the stuff, spoiler, that was really cool of them trying to gain power, him and Claire, now that they're there, they're really botching it badly. You know, just.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, isn't it though?
Well, it is, but not really. Here's the thing, and it's a thing about American TV and British TV, is in the spoiler for the House of Cards Great Britain one.
The British House of Cards is better.
It is because they don't care. British TV doesn't care if the character is likable. Okay, we have to do – it's like they've humanized Claire in this episode or this series a bit, whereas Elizabeth, they didn't have to. And she came out really, you know, she was the, you know, Lady Macbeth.
Well, I kind of thought the idea for at least the last two series of House of Cards was that the rest of the world was shittier than Frank.
Well, but here's the thing.
The reality is the rest of the world is actually shittier than Frank, so...
But Rox, here is my thing. I mean, I as far as what I've seen so far of Claire,
mm-hmm.
when she was crying towards the end of season 2,
yeah,
the fact that nothing like that had come close to happening before made it positively shocking. I mean, mm-hmm. which I liked. You know, it was like I looked at Cosette. I was like, have we seen that before? And she's like, no. We were right. both just like, holy shit. If that's making her react like that, then right. this is fucked, you know?
It's like the whole thing of – the problem is of what most first ladies of, you know, the latter 20th, early 21st century is a lot of them want something. You know, hey, I want this – program, I want this. And most of the first ladies have been shot down, figuratively. Whereas the only cool machination type thing was they were able to give her a post as an ambassador because Congress or whatever was out of session, so they were able to sneak that in. So she didn't even have to go through the whole – they did do the whole Senate hearing thing, and she botched that pretty – you know, she just comes off – which is funny because at times she just comes off as like almost like a freshman congressperson at times and just like
– Well, I'd be interested in seeing it simply because I think part of it is – and because I was surprised that the goal of – the Underwoods was what it was, mm-hmm. because because you can get so much more done and you actually have more power, I think, behind the scenes, and you're safer behind the scenes.
You think that. You think that. And that's the problem, is behind the scenes when he was a whip, he had, I think, he was able to control everything dirtily. Whereas now he has to deal with both Republicans and Democrats. No one's playing.
Reporters anymore.
He's not even. Yes, yes, and he can't. Yes.
Spoiler.
Well, I think also the other thing is he. The other thing was that Frank Underwood had been in Congress and been a whip for a while, so he already established his procedures for dealing with stuff. But now he's just starting to be president, so he's having to learn a whole new game, and that's probably why he is floundering, because he has figured out, you know, all the things he needs to do in this new position.
He's being watched a lot more than he used to be.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm wondering if season four of this is going to be where Frank gets his groove back.
I don't know. Maybe I will go back to, but not binge watch.
This sounds kind of disturbing, but I kind of actually do want the House of Cards Veep crossover now.
The House of Cards what?
The House of Cards Veep crossover.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's sort of funny. The secondary character storylines are interesting. You know, the one with Doug's what's his name? Stamper. He's got a storyline now. So, and the thing is there's not a lot of talking to the audience, which kind of happened in the British one for the third one. You know, so.
Well, I did like how in the opening episode of season two, he didn't for the whole episode until the very end when he looks at the camera and goes, "Oh, I haven't forgotten you."
Oh yes,
and then proceeds to talk. I like it when it's used. It's not overused. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's just so great.
Well, it seems like this is almost like it doesn't have that. You know, like that one was great, but it doesn't have that sort of, you know, you're waiting for it to, for him to turn around and say something. So it doesn't have that impact as it did in season series two. So.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to watching it. I will let you know how I'm reacting to it as we go.
Okay.
Oh, Rox, have you been watching 12 Monkeys?
No, that kind of dropped off my radar, but I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, it's done some very interesting things with
the... I've heard that they're doing some interesting things. Is it the timeline that they're... Yes?
Well, what they're doing is, instead, in the original movie, they weren't changing history. They were just going back to get, like... a decent sample of the virus. This one, they're changing history. They're filling them in again. They're gonna wipe them. They're gonna wipe themselves in history because, you know, 7 billion people. But it's played a lot with sort of the timeline. You know, he jumps into various points before he initially arrived.
They alluded that to about the dad or whatever. Like, I met you.
Yeah, he mentioned that she saw Cole in 87, and it's like, no, I haven't. It's like, oh. But they've also messed with, like, the conspiracy of the Army of the 12 Monkeys has, like, a connection to the Druze, like, an offshoot of Islam.
Oh, wow.
Back in, like, and I think they're, and where they got the virus was from a corpse they found in the Himalayas, like, a century ago that'd been around for centuries. So I think there's a much bigger temporal game going on than initially they thought.
And so it's Back to the Future too, except not funny.
No, there's more going on than that. It's very, they've definitely.
Well, somebody doesn't come out of this with bigger breasts. I'm just saying.
But they have taken intellectual mythology of the movie and found ways of expanding it and tweaking it, because like I said, the Brad Pitt character they made into a woman, and she's fucked up nuts, but she's fun. One thing that they've done in like the last episode is they mentioned, you know, where would you, the doctor asked Cole, where would you want to be if you're going to be erased, where would you like to end up in this new history? And he answers, I'd like to go to the Keys. And that's actually from the movie. That's from the movie. And like, there's various advertisements to the Florida Keys in the movie for the, and then they mention it in the episode. So it's a nice, callback to the original movie. So they know that they're not like totally tossing out what's in the movie. They're being very careful about putting like Easter eggs and stuff in. But no, it's been very interesting how they've done time and how they've established more of the history and the world of like his present, 2043, and the various stuff going on. And it's not just all him being sent to the past and him doing stuff there. There's stuff going on in his present that could affect him. So it's very interesting. I'm enjoying it. I've been sticking with it. So,
but it's a different continuity than the movie, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The virus, like I said, in the movie, the Army of 12 Monkeys was the red herring. In the show, there is an Army of 12 Monkeys, and they've got scary people working for them. In the movie, they're not going to change history. They say they can't do that. In the show, they have changed history. They made a mistake in changing history in one instance, but the timeline is more flexible. So they've made a lot of changes, but it still has, you know, there's an apocalypse coming. They need to stop it some way or another.
Nice. I'll have to check that out. I mean, that whole alternate history, changing history thing greatly appeals to me. That was actually one of the long before they rebooted Star Trek. That was one of the ideas that I had for Star Trek that I think I mentioned on the podcast.
What's interesting also is
Scott, hang on. Toughly, what were you saying?
I was going to say, I don't remember. Did we talk about the Stephen King Hulu thing with the Stephen King J.J. Abrams thing?
Huh? Mm.
The time travel book he wrote about the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, 11-22-63.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned it when it was first announced.
Yeah, they're apparently James Franco is involved and they're doing it with Hulu.
Oh, okay.
So it's James Franco, and I think that's the guy who's headlining it. And
but you know, they also said that Man in the High Castle's been picked up for a full season.
Yeah, by Amazon. Yep.
Yeah, by Amazon. And that's going to be interesting too to see how they take the book. And you already see in the pilot how they change things. Like in the book, it was a book. The Grasshopper Lies Heavy, but in the show, it's a film reel. It's newsreel that shows the past where we won. And they've made various little changes and stuff. It'll be interesting to see how they take, like they did with 12 Monkeys, how they take expanded it into a series.
What? You know, we just need to reboot Voyagers. That's all what we need.
Nice.
That can happen. Actually, you know, that's a good question. What does make it through the process and what doesn't? I mean, why not Voyagers? I mean, I could see that.
Pretty
maybe
much
like
with Hollywood, it's... See, they don't really care about whether or not the original idea was good. It was more so, does it have enough of a fan base that they could exploit now?
Oh, that's a good point.
But I think what's happening now, Aaron, is that the smart money is on doing the new version in a way that doesn't completely negate the old version so that you piss everybody off.
Yeah, but I kind of think that's like, if we're referring to the Star Trek method, I still think that that new way of doing it was bullshit, because it's just almost, it's almost insulting in a way, because it works so hard to kind of like say, oh no guys, it's fine, they're still, they're still alive. It's like, we know they're fictional characters, folks.
Yeah, I'm just imagining the first
thing was interesting. It the first movie was interesting because it showed that even though history had changed, you know, Kirk was still Kirk, Spock was still Spock. You know, there was still this thing sort of bringing them together.
They're fictional characters.
Aaron, I'd like to point out. Hang on. Aaron, I'd like to point out that based on what you know about Dragon Con and a lot of the fan base of these various things, do you really think that deep in their hearts they know that these are fictional characters?
Yeah, but if you had to work so hard to appease that rabid fan base, why not just come up with new fucking characters in the first place?
But see, it's not even that. It's just, that to me is like, I like the idea. I'm not even, I don't, okay, here's a dirty little secret. I, as much as I appreciate the original Star Trek, I don't care about the original Star Trek. I never watched it when I was a kid. I barely cared about the new movies because Wrath of Khan was the only one that was awesome. The rest of them were, you know, middling at best. I actually think that one of the best ones was Star Trek Insurrection, simply because it tried to have some humor to it. But I do appreciate using the genre to basically say we can, continuity-wise, I enjoy continuity. So I like continuity-wise being able to say, yes, there is a splinter Star Trek universe in which all these other adventures still took place and all those other characters still exist, so that we can write about them and not have to worry about it. And I don't even care, but I still like that because it appeals to me.
It sounds like they were trying to do, at least they had some middling idea of trying to create like their version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's Paramount's back door in case it tanked.
It's the ultimate comic universe, let's say, in the sense of like they wanted to rewrite all the old, they wanted to redo all the old Spider-Man comics because they wanted to make him young again and a teenager, and someone wanted to reboot it, but they didn't want to reboot it because all the fans would be pissed. So they just set up an alternative universe with the Ultimate Comics. And to a certain extent, I get it, but it just feels like pandering so much. And both iterations bug me, the Ultimate Comics and this new Ultimate Star Trek. It just bugs me that they put so much money into a franchise when they could have just like used the Star Trek universe that already exists, make a new story, or if you want to fucking use Kirk and you're so fucking determined to use Kirk, then reboot it and just reboot it.
But they did. I mean, they did.
Yeah, but it's the, they did. But yeah, technically.
All I'm saying is when they reboot Blake 7, the last episode didn't happen. Or maybe it did.
I'll call it Blake 7.5.
I think Blake 7.5. The thing is, I think in terms of trying to reboot it, make it different enough that, you know, it would satisfy new people, but try to keep the, was good in the first movie. The second movie was stupid.
I enjoyed it.
Really? Magic Blood? Really?
It's just not Star Trek. I mean, it's a good movie. If you never watched Star Trek, you'd enjoy the fuck out of the new movies.
There you go. That's why I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I don't begrudge anybody who likes them.
But, see, I don't begrudge anybody who doesn't like them. I mean, I think it bugs me when people take it so personally when you like or dislike a movie. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm saying in general, because I get this a lot, is that people take it so personally when you – I mean, apart from John, who doesn't like Casablanca, we know he's wrong. But beyond that
– you are wrong, sir. You
like
are
or
wrong.
Dislike – barbed wire, buddy. People who like or dislike a movie that you really enjoy, I mean, I'm like, I wish everybody enjoyed all the movies because that would mean that we were having a better time than we are. And I would want somebody to go see a movie and not like it because I'm like, well, shit, that was like an hour and 40 minutes minimum of your life you just wasted. Sorry.
Well, no, I see. But what bugs me is that, like, especially nowadays, which is the way the market is, there is a finite amount of money available to big production companies in Hollywood. And if a shitty movie that they made is very popular and more money is pumped into sequels of that movie being made rather than better projects, new projects being looked at, that bugs me, because I know there are people out there who are not getting work or are not getting their scripts sold because shitty films are doing so well in the box office with dumb audiences.
So, like Transformers or 50 Shades of Grey?
But see, here's the thing, though, is that I don't know, to a certain extent, I agree with you, because I'm the guy who said, listen, take $100,000 and divide it up among 10 people, give them $10,000 a piece, and see if you can't find the next Gareth Edwards, you know? I'm totally down with that, because to me, it is such a small investment to get such, you know, such great returns, you know? Because even if you lose, you know, five of those that are, they go bust or whatever, you still could get a decent return on five. Hell, even if, that's why horror movies are so popular. Because you can make a zombie movie for next to nothing and then sell it overseas and, like, double your money. But see, the problem is with the studios, nobody wants to double their money because there's no glory in that. But my point being is that I don't know that I blame this. I blame the studios a little for not, you know, diversifying, right? But I don't blame them in it, in that they're here to make money. They're not here to make great art as much as we would want them to be.
Oh, yeah. I agree. But that's why it bugs me when the really shitty movies are the ones that are making money.
Yeah,
so
that's,
like, that's the only reason why people
– That's on the audience now.
Yeah, that's the audience.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But that's how we started talking about this, because you were saying you don't begrudge anybody liking a movie that's bad. But I do, because that audience liking a shitty movie – controls where the money goes in Hollywood.
But they're the same people that, you know, bought 50 Shades of Grey and read it.
Okay,
I mean, you can't control what people want and like, you know?
I have a question. I'm curious. Does anybody here know anyone who liked, let's say, the last Transformers movie? Who saw it and liked it?
Yes.
Okay, have you asked them why?
Yes.
and?
The general answer is it was, quote-unquote, fun.
Well,
and it looked good. That was another one.
Well, you know, putting random things in the microwave is fine, too.
About, but... You know how you talk about, you know, how you turn your brain off, but sometimes it gets woken up by stupid?
Yeah.
I think for these people... Their brains are more sound sleepers. I think that's what it is. They're able to get much more stupid than we would be.
Well, and part of it too is, I mean, things piss me off that don't piss off a lot of people. Like, part of my problem in Kingsman was the fact that their universe's rules didn't make any sense at one point. And they had done such a good job of establishing them that sort of pissed me off. I also get pissed off by character inconsistencies, where you tweak a character because it's right for the plot, not because it makes sense. It's nothing that character would ever do, you know? So things like that probably don't bother a lot of people because they don't write, you know? Like, for example, Cosette can get taken out of a movie because the costumes are a little weird, you know?
Oh my gosh, I understand what she's saying, because I actually stopped watching a film because the opening credits, they used a typeface that was incongruous with the timeline. I'm like, they used Broadway. They used Broadway. Now, this is a 1920s font for something at the turn of the century, and I actually walked out.
They were off by 20 years.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Like, fuck this
noise.
I'm like,
oh, no, I can't. Yeah, and my friends are like, where did you go? I'm like, I just went to another film.
Comic Sans, no justice, no peace.
Oh, my God.
Rocks. Rocks. I've got your third book. I've got your third book, Rocks.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Font crimes.
Wait, that's a Queensryche album.
Essays about the most heinous use of fonts in the world.
I'm writing this down.
Do it.
Does this make rocks a font of knowledge?
Fonts into forensic typography.
Oh, wow. That's I can't wait for that book. Wait. Hey, Rox.
Yeah.
Write faster.
Okay. I got 6 months.
But see, I mean, part of it too is that I'm okay with. I'm trying to think of the last really dumb film that I actually enjoyed.
Oh, mine. Yeah. I'll tell you right
tell
now.
Me. Go. What?
Land of the Lost. I know you guys hate it. It is so much.
I
if
did
you
not know, watch it.
Oh my God! I grew up on Land of the Lost. I actually rewatched some of the old episodes, and there's some real hard science in that show. However, the Will Ferrell one, my friends and I can get together and we just laugh because it is funny. It is funny. It's we know what we're getting out of it.
Did the hard science in Land of the Lost have anything to do with a raft?
No.
Okay.
No, they actually had a thing. No, there were actually, like, I don't know if it was Larry Niven. Some of the hard science writers actually wrote a couple scripts. And one had to do with gravity. It was really cool.
Well, it's like with Alien 3. That William Gibson did a draft of Alien 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know, Blomkamp has sort of stepped away from saying he's going to totally ignore Alien 3.
Blomkamp?
That's a shame.
Blomkamp. Well, he's been very...
He's busy getting a blowjob.
Ambiguous about if he's going to deal with that bit of continuity or not. It is
possible to do a film that doesn't reflect that. Oh, you remember that time Ripley was pregnant? No. Okay, we'll move on.
Well, to be fair, I actually when I had not seen Alien Cubed, I guess, in the cinemas, when I finally got around to watching it, I was like, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, it was a decent film. And sadly, Alien Resurrection had two good things in it. And that's it. But I mean, it did have two good things in it.
Wait, I can't remember. Sorry, is Cubed 3 or 4?
3.
Right.
Yeah.
This is how good I was at math in school.
Aaron, all I can say is, if I have to explain something mathematical to you, I worry for you.
Yeah, but no, I would say I liked Alien 3. I don't think it's necessarily
includable. Bad, but I think the problem was it had to compare to like Aliens, which was a blockbuster.
Is that the Winona Ryder one? Which one is that one?
That's Resurrection,
the fourth one. Yeah.
I like the third one. They had Charles dance in it, right?
I like the idea.
Hang on, what's that, Toughly?
I like the idea with Cubed or 3 that Fincher took the idea of every film is different and actually made kind of a weird art thriller terror film.
Well, and part of that
too. Completely different in tone from the other two films, and I think that worked.
Part of
that too. I personally liked it, but yeah.
Part of that too was the fact that Sigourney Weaver had decided she didn't want guns in it.
Yeah.
So they had to work around that. I was bugged by the fact that you had, Hicks and Newt just were killed in the crash, you know? I was like, no, they were too good of characters to just die because you didn't want to bring them back or you couldn't get them back. I'm like, damn.
Although I did like the scene where she gets them to do the autopsy to see if she had a chest burster in her. That was very... You know, it was her. She was feeling like all that grief and shit. But, no, I gotta make sure.
Mm.
Well, Resurrection, that did her right.
Yeah, Resurrection was a mess.
Well, you know, the other thing that was a Cubed one was Halloween 3: Season of the Witch. That had a whole
Rox. Did you? Rox, did you ever watch your other disc?
No, not yet.
Okay, so you don't know what's on it.
Oh,
no,
okay.
All right. I mean, Alien Resurrection had a lesbian alien scene in it. Alien sex scene in it.
Wait a minute, which one? 3?
Alien Resurrection.
Oh.
Ripley and the alien queen do it and have a baby. And then the baby gets sucked out of a little tiny hole in the spaceship. That's some stupid shit.
Oh, wow.
That's
I
a horrible thing to
remember.
Yeah.
I think I blocked that out because it wasn't one of the two cool things about the about the
I
film.
Blocked it
wait,
out because
just
I
like,
didn't
wait,
get
cool thing one? No. Cool thing
cool
two?
Thing two? No. No.
I blocked that out because I didn't see any leadership ideas for me at all. So
there were no leadership ideas.
No, leadership
in
that movie was terrible. Really bad.
Okay, so here's what I came up with. For as far as a really smart kind of dumb movie at the same time, in that there was lots of splode in it and a lot of kick splode, I would say Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, very, I like that. Yes. You know,
very smart, quote unquote, dumb movie.
Oh, but, my gosh. And Tom Cruise screams off camera really funnily. Does.
But he screams like a leader.
I don't that, know. He screams like a girl, but you know.
Are you making an accusation?
No, just him.
I also enjoyed Fast and Furious 6, which was a big dumb movie. But
that was a big dumb movie. Charlie's Angels I enjoyed, and that was the dumb as fuck.
Yeah, as far as dumb
I think
as
you're
fuck
alone
goes,
on that there, Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. All right, possibly. Okay, here you go. Possibly, I would say Expendables 2. Because it was just, it was dumb as hell in that basically it, well, it was smart in that it fixed the problems with the first one, which was if you get all these people together, there's certain things we want to see. And then it gave us all of those things we wanted to see. So it was smart in that sense. Again, I think that maybe that it's a dumb movie like Transformers. What's really infuriating is like Dark Side of the Moon, Transformers, what, the third one, whatever it is, where they had such
bark
a
at the moon,
bark at the puke on the moon, whatever it was, had such a smart premise, but then they ruined it. I mean, you know, yeah, spoilers on that film. If you haven't seen it, this is the only good part. Find it on YouTube. Is to bring, like, Buzz Aldrin in and say that the whole moon mission was to find, you know, a crashed Autobot ship on the moon was brilliant. We were so upset when we saw that trailer, and you find out it's a Transformers film. We wept. Oh, it's so sad. The Total Recall remake was not terrible. It was kind of dumb. Not as dumb as the first one. You know, the first one is a big, dumb movie. Total Recall. I enjoyed that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And yet, it still had a little bit of mindfuck in it to make it interesting.
I mean, was any Arnold film not a dumb movie?
Twins,
that's a good question.
Twins wasn't dumb. It was a very serious drama.
Okay, here's what I would say, though. I would say that Terminator was not dumb, and I would say that Predator was not dumb in that they were executed so perfectly well. In that Predator is literally the go-to film that I say if you want to get
see
a
movie
study
with Jesse Ventura.
No, if you want to set up a bunch of characters so we care about them and then kill them quickly, Predator, because that was perfect. And the Terminator is just awesome. I would say Terminator 2 is a smart, dumb film in that it takes about 5 minutes for the chase to start, and then it just doesn't stop. But it's totally good with that. But yeah, there's a lot of dumb movies in the Arnold Schwarzenegger genre. The oeuvre, whatever you call it.
Oeuvre.
Oeuvre. The oeuvre. I would move heaven and earth to see your oeuvre.
Really?
Not yours.
Scott thinks he
and
means
all we thought all it took was a cup of coffee, Wedge.
Well, it's got to be really good coffee.
Yeah.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, in just a second, because you can actually have really stupid movies in which Arnold Schwarzenegger is the best thing. Because I maintain that his best acting moments were in Batman and Robin. But that was shit.
I think it might be in comparison to the rest of the film, though.
No.
In comparison to the two cool things in Alien Resurrection?
Yeah, that's basically he was the one cool thing.
Introductions coming.
All right, fine. Yeah. So, although I really want to see Terminator Genesis.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. I admit I'm intrigued.
I want to see Terminator Super NES.
You could probably find that on eBay.
It's okay. When Terminator CD comes out, it's all going to go to hell anyway.
Who's Staticky?
Tufts.
Am I?
Yeah. he's Electro in the new Spider-Man movies.
He's rubbing his socks on the carpet. This is what's happening right now.
Those aren't socks.
No.
He is Socko the Electric Man.
Socko.
I don't know.
Socko to
me. The Price is Right game, Socko.
Isn't it? Oh. Oh, all right. So we'll do introductions. And we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Internet train wreck. We're gathered here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. That was full-time Aaron Fever providing the theme music. Hi, Aaron.
What is up with you, kids?
We also have Tuffley is here. Hi, Tuffley.
Hi.
Hi. shocking. We have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Live long and prosper.
Hell yes. We have Roxas Bestas here, providing leadership qualities. Hi, Rox.
Good day.
Good day. Also, Scott C is with us. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hello. And, of course, we got John for the Neat Geek. Hi, John.
Out of Context Theater is your friend.
It certainly is, Robo-Me.
Oh. You can't agree with yourself.
Well, it's very rare that happens, Tuffley. Normally, I have knockdown, drag-out fights with myself.
Yeah, when you run into the 12 monkeys, it's just fucked.
The mirror universe me, which has no beard.
Ah!
And is black.
Ultimate widget walls. No, we've established the ultimate widget is actually female, so.
That's true. Yep. And with ace buns.
That's okay. If it's anything like Ultimate Smatterman, you'll just be replaced by a black kid. Wow.
Which I still need to read that.
I so fucking hope that they go with Miles for
Oh god, I do too.
Oh man, the movie Spider-Man has to be him.
We're gonna be bitterly disappointed, but god, I want that.
I know. We're gonna cry somewhere together at Dragon Con. It'll be fun.
So,
have they had any hints about if they're going with Miles Morales or Peter Parker?
They haven't.
I read an article where they said that he may not be white. Someone said that somewhere.
And, well, they said he was going to be in high school.
Was it Michelle Rodriguez?
I'm sorry.
I was asking if the person that said it was, he wasn't, never mind.
Nah, okay.
Michelle Rodriguez, that's it.
Yeah. No, it could be Spider-Gwen, maybe. I don't know.
Which has a great costume, by the way.
Yeah. Just, could they do something about the name? It's what it says it is on the tin, but still.
Well, the problem is that there's so many Spider characters now. You've got Spider-Woman. Well, you've had two Spider-Women. You've had, like, two Spider-Girls or something. And, I mean, Spider-Cat, for all I know. You've had a Spider-Pig. It's like,
what? You got to... Was Aunt May a spider?
That'd be awesome.
I think at some point, surely, there's been a what-if or something. What if Aunt May had been bitten by the spider?
Oh, that'd be great.
Surely.
Oh, I'm almost certain there was.
I mean, they had a what-if where she became the Herald of Galactus, so surely.
What?
Yeah.
God, come on.
God.
I really want to read the what-if where I think it's she that dies instead of Uncle Ben.
I had that. I forget what happened in it, but I did. I used to own that. Because there's been like three what-if series or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the original crazy one where they did stuff like, what if Nick Fury fought World War II in space?
I still want, you know, Superman versus Muhammad Ali. They could make that movie. That'd be awesome.
That needs to be like a that needs to be a fan film is what it is. A trailer for that.
Well, they can always get
Michael J. Fox could play Muhammad Ali.
See, wow. I was trying to avoid that. But somehow, yeah.
I like when Scott's the one who's taking. Scott's the one who's taking the high road. I like that.
Yeah. Welcome to Earth 12, folks.
Scott, could you be any lower in your chair?
Don't ask that. You might get an answer.
No, I know. Scott, sit up.
What are you doing under the desk? Oh, never mind.
You should know. Being desk and all.
What?
Previously on desk.
This is the spinoff.
I think I do a better rote, like board, than the board is. You're slipping, John.
Pussy.
Did you finish introductions, Widge?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was quick.
You made the rounds.
That's what she said. Oh, never mind.
But apparently they've got Drew Goddard for the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, we were talking about that before because I was asking if the Sinister Six movie had been canned, which apparently it has.
It has, but it's still technically on the table if it goes well, but it's not.
I can't see Marvel allowing that. You know, because they have a plan to these things, and basically doing since Spider-Man's going to be in the MCU, there's no need to have a Spider-Verse. So
yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is, what was the other quote making the rounds? Hugh Jackman was saying something about it. He really wanted to be in an Avengers film. So
yeah,
do you think they'd have the balls to recast him as a different Marvel character?
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, there's no rule that says they can't cast Hugh Jackman as something in a film.
Could he be Puck?
Maybe.
Because, like, Chris Evans, I mean, he was Johnny Storm in another film.
No, he wasn't. Johnny Storm is a black man.
Oh, God, that thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's a blue and black man.
He's a gold man. He's a white and gold man.
He's a white and gold man.
Why have we got to be all confusedly racist?
No, I just mean he's Goldman as in he's Jewish.
See?
See?
Thanks, Daddy Tuffley.
It's like Tuffley's got one of those bug zappers in the background. Oh, God. But no, I really want them to figure out some way that the X-Men at Fox can play nice and be in the MCU simply because they have had, what is it now? They've done one, two, there's only two Wolverine movies, right? Two Wolverine movies, and then, so one, two, three, four, so basically like five X-Men movies. So they've done like eight or nine movies trying to create a Wolverine movie as good as Hugh Jackman's Wolverine and have failed. The best Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie was Days of was not Days of Future Past. It was First Days Class. It was First Class, and he had one line in it. That is the most true to Wolverine we have ever seen him.
But the thing is, if I think if Marvel got X-Men back and were to do an X-Men movie, I think they'd go with the original
I'm
five.
Bringing
and actually
X-Men
wouldn't
back.
Have a Wolverine in it.
Yeah, see, the problem is now, I don't know, and Tuffley's probably, I'll say this before Tuffley blows our minds with his theory that he's already come up with as to how they could do this, because that's just how Tuffley works. But my thing is, they've done so much setting up with the fact that Inhumans are the mutants of the MCU, they may not want X-Men back, you know, because it just might get in the way.
Although, here's what they could do. They could do... I told you,
here it comes, brace yourself.
They could do an Age of Apocalypse thing, and then when they go back and stop Legion from killing Professor X, suddenly they're in the MCU.
Tell me about an old-timey radio, Tuffley.
Hold on, let me turn his dial slightly. He might come in a bit clearer.
You're listening to Weekend Justice AM.
So wear your coconut so you can simulate a horse gallop.
The funny thing is, if I was expecting anybody to sound like they're coming through a gramophone, it would have been Rocks.
That's why you were so low.
That's true. Tuffley, why are you coming from the past when that's Rocks' shit?
I know! Damn, I get nothing good.
Well, I decided this week to travel back in time.
I quit!
Now he's going to do that thing from Super Friends where he finds the weekend hall of Weekend Justice and buries his communicator beneath it, so that when we build the Hall of Weekend Justice in the future, we suddenly get a transmission from his communicator. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one who remembers that episode.
I do.
I will say though that the tin can and string technology has come on a long way.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the app is called Tin Can, TINCN .com.
You have to be careful about that.
If that hasn't been grabbed, it has now. I've got it. Basically, just like you use Instagram and the filters on it to make pictures look shittier than they actually are, you can use tincan.com to make your Skype call sound even shittier than they are. Let's put on the rotary phone filter. Let's put the 1980s phone cell phone filter. It'd be great. And the old timey radio filter.
Would that be Instacan?
Instacan. Ah, yes. Instacan.com.
Ooh, is it available?
It sounds like a way to request porta potties, actually.
Sweet, sweet can. That's one for the
God. The old timey radio Weekend Duster brought to you by Lee Strike Cigarettes.
Oh, the words "rest in peace, Jam" is trending, and now I'm just worried about Space Jam.
What?
What?
Oh, there's some Asian pop star who seems to have died, but his name was Jam. And so the words "rest in peace, Jam" is the number one trend in the world, and I was just kind of like, "Oh shit, Space Jam's in trouble." But no,
it's
just some dude I don't know.
Are they remaking Space Jam? Please say you're two.
Ooh.
Please.
Guys. Tim Burton, Space Jam, go.
Well, let's see.
Well, I think Muggsy Bogues should be playing Michael Jordan, just right off.
Well, but who's Johnny Depp going to play?
Bugs Bunny?
A Porky Pig.
Oh. Now, does it matter if he does, does it matter if he does, like, motion capture to be Bugs Bunny?
Okay, do we want to be sensitive and not cast Helena Bonham Carter in this, or what?
Who's got to be Bonham's bunny then, though?
Wait a minute. Tim Burton always casts Helena Bonham Carter, so I don't understand what the problem is.
They're no longer together.
Do they still live next door to each other, though?
I know.
Because that would be very awkward.
I thought they broke up like a while ago.
That was last year. They just broke up last year.
Considering there's like one woman in Space Jam, one female character, I guess Space Jam is more like a Wes Anderson film than anything else.
Oh God, Wes Anderson Space Jam.
Oh, did you see the? Oh, I don't know. Did you see the thing? I posted this on the Facebook. The Wes Anderson.
Okay, old man Tuffley.
I am old. I'm incredibly old.
We found out that Scott's the youngest bar me, though.
Well, Tuffley, how old are you?
I didn't think we were giving this up on ages on the program.
Type it into the chat.
We promised to read it. I mean, not read it.
It's one lower than 40, Scott.
Oh, well, then you're closest to the young Irishman.
Here we go.
Well, but like by 20 years? What do you mean?
Well, Scott, you're like on top now. You're on top of Tuffley.
Warning.
How
can he be on top if he's so low?
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
There we go.
So the bit from would be... Dear D-Tune, may we destroy you, signed the Monstars. Dear Monstars, no you may not, signed the Looney Tunes.
Oh, speaking of stuff that may be coming back, you know they're talking about bringing back DuckTales.
Woo! They're not talking about, they are doing it.
Yeah, they've announced that's happening.
Does anybody have any fond memories of DuckTales?
No.
The video
I do. It was fine.
The video game being hard as hell.
I'm old.
They put out an album.
Yeah, the video game got me hard too. Wait a minute, that's not what you said. Hold on a second.
That's what were you doing with the cane?
Were you furiously ducking while playing the video game?
Woo. No, I liked it.
Were you using your hard cane to jump as well?
Wait. Is Urban Dictionary got a definition of ducking?
Oh God, it has to.
What about ducktailing?
Wait, I know what happened. I know what happened. John had four. Apparently, at least according to Wikipedia, which is right, the translation of one of the foreign titles for the DuckTales game was Naughty. So that's what John's
Naughty was. What? Naughty what? You cut out.
Ducks Dream Adventures.
Naughty okay, Ducks Dream Adventures?
This is not the number one Urban Dictionary definition, but I think it's my favorite. Ducking. When a girl puts two Pringles in her mouth to form the illusion of a duck's bill and proceeds to insert a penis through the duck bill.
Does it specify the brand of Pringles?
Ow.
I would say stay away from salty.
Please don't do the
barbecue.
Not habanero either. That would be.
I mean ranch. I mean sour cream and onion.
I see a logistic problem.
Of course you would.
Rock.
Oh God.
Rocks calls foul.
Would you like to describe the nature of the problem?
Well done, sir.
Would you? Thank you. Thank you, John. Would you call that a launch problem or a design problem?
Design problem, actually.
Or a leadership
Scott?
Problem.
Scott, you could ring in on this one. Shall we go to the other room and confer?
Oh,
now,
God.
At any
just
point,
meet him under the desk.
You can put in the meaning for a term that's not on Urban Dictionary and make it on Urban Dictionary. And I looked up the term weekend justice and it is not on Urban Dictionary. And
yes.
I think we would be remiss if we ended this podcast without putting in a definition of weekend justice on the
Urban Dictionary. Of like a rusty venture.
Whoa. What, in that you better make sure you get shots before you listen to us?
Well, do you have 3 hours?
Okay, so that's I think that's the first one. It's 4 hours long.
Yes, for erection lasting 4 hours long, please contact your local.
It is the erection that lasts 4 hours long.
Or ascot.
What? You're wearing an ascot? What?
No, or ask Scott.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Enunciate.
Wait, apparently...
Wait a minute, come on, for more than 4 hours.
No doubt you know, but they, again, according to Wikipedia, which is all right, they did a remastered version of DuckTales and released it 13 for all the various consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
And it's almost impossible to play still.
The trending games now is to remaster it and put it out for more money.
Well, yeah, again, it's money.
Well, again, they could be giving, you know, money to designers to do original games, but, you know, everybody wants sequels.
And sometimes the sequels work.
But
like Alien Isolation, that worked.
Yes, but then you can do Nintendo, which is we do nothing but sequels and prequels to games that people liked 20 years ago, and...
And unfortunately...
They're not sell consoles.
Oh, see, I know, but unfortunately...
Here's what I would do. If I was Nintendo, here's what I want from Nintendo. I want, and maybe this exists, because I would be actually amazed if it does not, back when they made board games... I would love to get a video game package that's all of their old board games. We play them on a video game version. You guys know this, right, about Nintendo?
Yeah, because they were a card company and a board game company before video games.
And I think there was something else even before they did games. I can't remember, though.
I want to say – well, they were a general merchandise company, so they did pretty much everything. At one point or another. They did, like, soap?
They probably did.
Nintendo is people.
Yeah, I found our post on it, but I don't know. There's probably another image, but that's a small image. It's an image, for those of you listening at home, it's an image of a kid looking over at a gigantic, glowing half skull that has sparkly eyes. I have no idea what it is, but I want to play it. It's terrifying. But yeah, I'm surprised that considering that I go to the thrift stores and look for board games, I have not run across what?
You pop those tags?
I pop those tags.
Oh,
that sounds Jesus rude as hell.
Oh my god, that should be on Urban Dictionary, popping tags.
I don't what just happened? I don't know what just happened.
It's a song that was popular about 2 years ago, which is okay.
Was that actually in the song? Because I've heard the song.
Yeah. I think one of the first lines is, I'm going to pop some tags. Got $20.
Oh, see, okay. Here's the thing, Aaron. I recognize it when you say it, but somehow part of a rap song coming out of Scott's mouth just sounded so alien that I had no idea what was happening.
Here's the thing. We've heard Scott try to imitate a musician for like, what, 8 years now?
Jesus,
and we're still waiting for him to do it at least once.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I think I've given John enough time to cue it up. So that song was called Rock Lobster. Oh my god, John Butel.
Rock Lobster.
Whoa!
I've never actually listened to the song.
It's
like not once.
No.
It's like a remix. What's going on?
Rock Lobster.
Wow. That's, like, that's the extended 12-inch mix.
By the way, Butel, you're fired.
I'm sorry, I was busy pulling up pop some tags while you did that.
If that ain't a euphemism.
It is now.
Oh, Macklemore.
I'm terrified. I'm just...
Macklemore, more like Macklemess. Am I right?
He's full time, folks. He's full time.
I'd like some Macklemess, if you know what I mean. But anyway.
Ba-da-bum.
Remember, folks, tip your veal.
Oh, poor cows.
Oh,
hey, I got
God.
Some disappointing news for you guys.
Yeah?
We are not nominated for any of the annual podcast awards.
We are. Oh.
Surprise, surprise.
Darn. Well, you know, it's
you know, I'm wondering if we could do like a Kanye West thing, that whoever wins, we gush about one of the other nominees.
Oh my God, we should do that. We should do that during the parsecs. I will do that.
I will do that.
John, try to get on to the awards.
Never
ceremony
again.
At DragonCon.
Never
I am
again.
So
John, you rocked it. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, fuck you. So drunk.
I'm going to let you all finish, but. Who wants to, like, who's up? But who's the one that we would want to win of the ones that are up?
Who's nominated? Who do we want to be the Beyonce?
Well, oh, this is the
we're still in the comedy category, correct?
Now remember, this isn't the Parsecs. This is actually the podcast awards.
Oh, the potties?
The potty. Yes, the potties.
is that something you requested through Instacan?
Let's see. Where is the comedy
I
section?
I like comedy bang bang.
Yes, but what about any podcasts, Scott?
So there's the Adam Carolla in the comedy section. There's Barstool Sports Mail Time, whatever that is.
Yeah.
The Adam Carolla Show, of course. A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. What All Say right. You? My Brother,
now,
My Brother,
what
and
say
Me.
You the one with Colton?
Hold on.
I have no idea.
I think it's like, isn't that the one? There's the NPR like quiz show that has Jonathan Colton on it.
No, that's not that.
No, this
that's
is not.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So I'm sorry, John. What were the others?
Let's see, where were we at? What say you? My brother and me. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the Detroit cast, No Such Thing as a Fish, The Morning Stream, and WTF with Mark Maron.
Okay, so of those, No Such Thing as a Fish is a great podcast. So, and it's also very highbrowish. So my thought would be they won't win, but we could totally Kanye the Parsecs and say that they should have won. Yes, Kanye is a verb in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, look up Kanye in the Urban Dictionary.
Kanye or Kanye?
Kanye. Kanye is a type of dog.
Well, Kanye. No, we don't want that.
What? Yeah, it's in the top definition of Urban Dictionary. Kanye, to steal another person's moment of acknowledgement, spotlight, and attention by interrupting them as they are talking.
Yes, that's not only Urban Dictionary, that's a real word. And I can say that because I have a degree in English. So that's all that I'm fucking good for, that and spotting a typo at 50 yards. That's it.
I love some of the better ones. Like some of them that are out. The grammar is fantastic. Kanye, or Kanye West, a rapper-producer who dresses like Carlton from Fresh Prince but can still rap good. He doesn't use much drug, sex reference. He can put great music behind his good lyrics. He makes funny rhymes sometimes. The College Dropout was the best overall album I've ever heard.
This is the commentators from Screenwipe.
There is one song on there that is bad.
Signed, Philomena Kunk.
Very shippies.
He's like from older times, back in the way.
Oh. That show makes me so happy.
Do you know what? I gotta be honest. She's the best thing on it, though.
Although I did like the person that they had doing Russell Brand.
Oh yeah.
One of the other episodes.
That was really good.
And when they do the blogger, because I see a lot of YouTube and pretty damn close.
Yeah, that. They did her bit with Russell Brand that one episode, like the second or third episode, and she was just dead on. It was perfect.
Yeah, they did it in the fifth one, too.
Oh, nice. I greatly enjoyed that.
If I just talk slowly but with a slightly Victorian accent, people think that I am making clever statements.
That's okay. Did you guys...
Isn't that pretty much how Britain works generally?
No, it's years and years of oppression.
Oh, very much. When this was up, they actually took a sound bite to Russell Brand talking, and they interspensed it with Blur's Park Life.
But did you see then he did his own version of that where him
yeah,
and
the rubber band? It ruined the joke.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. I thought he embraced it and then actually sent himself up pretty well.
Yeah. It's no fun if you're in on it.
Yeah. Well, that was a thing.
Yeah.
So, has anyone caught up on Walking Dead?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so
yeah, anyway. I can tell, pulled his mic down. I was like, now is talking time.
So
yeah, I heard that Walking Dead has gone gay.
I think you're thinking of Black Sails. Oh, no, that was also Walking Dead as well.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know,
I heard that this is actually something from the comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So what were you going to say, Tuffley?
No, I was saying, you know, well, we've gone through, you know, all the Wire cast members, so now we have to get to the gays. It's all right. Running through all the minorities. Let's go.
Wow. But no,
it is Georgia, okay? I'm just saying.
Well, now not anymore.
Well, not anymore, but it was.
Wait, you don't live in Georgia anymore?
No.
The Walking Dead.
Oh. Yeah. No, I actually absolutely love Tova in that role. It makes me very happy. No reaction? None? Everyone just, yeah.
There's a Google whack joke, which someone somewhere is going to get it, but.
That's the name of the actress who is playing Deanna.
Yeah, oh, that's not okay. Me.
Yeah, the one who's knocked Kate Mulgrew.
Yes, exactly.
Wow,
I had to keep looking, making sure. Wait a minute, what?
Wow, yeah.
The voice wasn't gravelly enough. Didn't sound like she smoked 40 a day.
Makes her a perfect dragon in the video game. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, where do I know her from?
She was in Law and Order. She played a recurring role as another
corpse.
as a lawyer.
Okay, I know you're talking about.
And love most of the lawyers. She did a judge every once in a while.
But yeah, she was in that, and she's done a lot of theater
stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how she probably got into Law and Order in the first place.
Well, yeah, New York.
Well, they had that, especially in the first few seasons, like, okay, we need people. Where's Broadway? Are you doing a show? No? Get in here!
Yeah, they can't put Elaine Stritch in everything.
Not anymore.
Well, they can't, yeah.
Sadly.
I know.
Corpse Bride, maybe.
Oh, I mean, wow! Ouch.
I really like how they're handling the Alexandria thing, and, I really like the lead up to it, especially since it's different from the comics in that this is a group of people who have been through Woodbury and Terminus. So they are even more hardened and paranoid than they were in the comics at this point.
I don't know if that's true. I actually think, because in the first, until Terminus, I think the characters on the show were too soft in comparison to how they were in the comics. And since Terminus, I think they've toughened up to the comic book level. I think they're as tough.
Well, I think some of them, it varied. Because I agree that Carol stepped up after Terminus.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Tyrese was not as tough. But I think Carl hardened up because, as he said in his interview, yeah, I killed my mother, which I was like, holy shit. I mean, it's true, but damn.
That felt like comic Carl to me, because comic Carl didn't settle into Alexandria either. He was like,
oh, yeah,
too tough for this shit.
Yeah. But I know we had talked about Noah last time, and people were saying that he wasn't – he wasn't a very strong character. But I'd like to point out, this occurred to me afterwards, this is the guy who got the drop on Carol and Daryl, stole all their shit, and then, you know, opened a bunch of tents full of zombies to try to take him out. So,
if funny enough, he feels more like Comic Glenn.
Because TV Glenn is a lot harder than Comic Glenn at this point.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, and to me, that was from... Because remember, Comic Glenn did not take well to Woodbury, whereas TV Glenn faced down a zombie and, like, did so while tied to a chair. Which I was like, oh, shit. So... Yeah, I just think it's interesting because, and I also like the fact that they had Aaron say, "Well, I used to work for an NGO, so I'm used to bad guys putting guns in my face." Because otherwise, it would make no sense why he was so calm, facing down ultra paranoid Rick. You know what I mean?
It's actually funny because like Orla was watching that episode with me. She never watches the show, but just she happened to be around when I was watching it, and she was kind of asking the question, like, he seems super calm about it, and then he actually said that line almost exactly after she asked the question. So, you know, yeah, they were clever, I think, with the episode.
Yeah, I thought it went really well, and I'm going to be interested to see where it goes from here because they've only got like. What, 4 episodes till the end? And I have an idea of what the end is going to be, but I'm not sure if I'm right or not. I'm thinking it's going to be the where Alexandria gets temporarily overrun. But what I think the difference is going to be is that because their walls are so well constructed, someone is going to, like we saw at Noah's place, help them get in, if you know what I mean.
Well, that could be the young girl.
No, I don't. Well, I mean, she could be a plant from the wolves, whoever they are. That's true. I hadn't thought of that. But that is possible, because we don't know what she's up to. But I do think, and again, we didn't have Noah in the comics. They didn't go by his place in the comics. So we have that whole wolves thing, which I don't know if that's supposed to be the TV version of the Saviors or not. So we'll see.
Because there's
no wolves in the comic.
No, but it would make sense to assume that they're that group. But I don't know. I have a feeling because remember when they go, and I'm trying not to spoil it for the guys who haven't read the comic, but there is a scenario with some of the villagers. Where there's a confrontation that Rick kind of gets involved, which I don't know if you kind of know what I'm talking about, but
I think I do, and they're already setting that up, I think.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's kind of how they're going to wrap up the season, is kind of with that kind of storyline more so. So it might just be just like inside centric and maybe save some of the outside stuff till the start of next season.
That's possible. My only concern is that because it's the series finale, I want it to have enough of a punch where, you know, it just leaves you with that ah type of thing, as opposed to, you know, not that calm, because by comparison, that would be pretty calm by comparison.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of, you know, there are differences, so they can change things up.
Oh yeah,
There's a couple of different people that can kind of get involved. But I would just like to spend a couple of episodes watching them try to acclimatize and kind of get used to the group, because I've just found it. I liked seeing these kind of, you know, wild animals try and settle in with caged ones, domesticated ones, and it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I think I mean, with 4 episodes left, you've got enough to do that and still have some sort of blow up at the end. And again, they've been playing with expectations this entire time, so I'm sure they would find a way to do a quote-unquote calmer sort of season finale, and I'd still be satisfied. Because so far, I've been pretty happy with this season, apart from the whole Bob thing. But
Bob.
Yes.
Bob.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get and I would be surprised if we didn't have one more death this season, but I'm not sure who yet. I mean, I know who it's not going to be, but I don't know who it will be. But yeah, totally.
Well, if they play the outside thing, I could take a guess, but I don't think they're going to go that hard that fast.
Yeah, no, and like I was telling Aaron, I think that's I think they're going to fake us out on that.
Well, they've been doing that all season, so I don't think we're going there yet.
No, I don't think they're going to kill him. I think they're going to kill somebody else.
I wonder, because Daryl's completely made up and has taken a back seat for quite a lot of the season. I wonder if he is superfluous now.
Well, I don't know, because I mean, your animal analogy, the caged versus domesticated, is actually a really good way of looking at this, because you've got a lot of them are, I mean, again, you've got a huge ensemble, so they're not doing everything with everybody in one episode, but you've got different reactions to the cage, right? If we think of Alexandria as a cage, you've got Michonne, who appears to be all in. You've got Carol, who is completely, you know, has switched her persona so that she's in a good position in case she needs to go Carolinator on anybody.
Yeah, I love the uniform that she put on. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it was perfect. Then you've got, you know, and then at the complete other side of the spectrum, you've got Daryl, who is making no bones about the fact that he is still a wild animal. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I think he could be useful from a story point of view in giving us a spectrum of all these different characters and how they react to, like you said, well, now that we're safe. I mean, it's telling in that in his interview, he said, you know, she goes, do you want to be here? And his reaction was, well, the boy and the baby deserve a safe place to live, I guess. It's like, oh, holy shit.
What I loved is towards the end of the episode when Rick came down the stairs in his police uniform. The shot that they showed of him walking through the house was beautifully constructed, because all the people who were comfortable with staying and being part of the community were in the kitchen. So, like, you know, Judith and his son. What's his name? His son again? Carl. Carl. Judith, Carl, Michonne.
Yeah, Carl Nolan House. That's his name.
Like, yeah. They were all in the kitchen. In the living room were the guys who were kind of uncomfortable with anything. So it was Glenn and you know, the Abraham and all those guys. And then and the front porch was Daryl on its own. And it was a nice way of showing the different layers of how people are settling in. And so there were some that were trying to, you know, still cautious, but, you know, they were there. And then Daryl, who just like was even not even in the house, was one foot out the door. And I was wondering if that was kind of maybe a sign that he might not be staying. But yeah, it was kind of, I love how they're, it seems to be much smarter this season than any season beforehand.
Well, like I said, I think part of that is due to the fact that they've actually had time to settle in and they're not switching showrunners every 12 months at this point. You know what I mean? They've had the same guy for most of season three. I think, was it all of season three? I don't remember, but basically he had What's that?
It's
Gimple,
right? Yeah, it's Gimple.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he was there for all of season three, and
yeah, and he was there beforehand as a writer. So, yeah. But part of it is that, I mean, they spent season three kind of fixing the sins of before, like I said before, where they fixed the prison ending, and Woodbury, they fixed that, and had to sort of do some gymnastics to do that, but then now that they're able to do their own thing, they're off to the races. So, but yeah, no, I really like that. And then the reveal of Rick's ultimate plan, which is, hey, any way we go, we've got this, was really
which
nice.
Which is word for word from the comic as well, which was beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, that's what I love about it is that it stays to the comic close enough where it's not losing those of us who've been here, you know, before. Because it's intriguing because, like, you know, again, the end of the prison sequence where, you know, he's telling Carl, don't look back, and you see the prison. It's almost that panel is almost verbatim what the comic was. You know, that shot was the panel. And they had managed to set it up where he's using the same words, but it means something completely different because what immediately happened before then was completely different. They're really smart in doing that, and it makes me happy.
Also, the Walking Dead speech from a couple of weeks ago.
Well, they've done that before, haven't they?
They did, but they played it off again.
And I still love that. That makes me so happy.
Because it has a different meaning from the infection, so.
Well, yeah. And I really like that. I really like what they've been doing with all of it. And that's why I think they're going to do the fake out on the bat thing, because it will freak the fuck out of all of us, including the audience who hasn't read the comics. And I think that's what's been great is that, you know, because they've changed it up enough, we're in the dark. I mean, Cosette will turn to me and go, is this from the comics? And I'm like, no, I have no idea what the fuck's happening here. But yeah, I had not thought that Enid could be with the wolves. That is a fascinating theory.
I feel like if there's anything kind of big that's going to happen by the end of the series, it's probably going to be coming from her because she's the kind of the wild card at the moment, and the fact that she kind of disappeared from the town unbeknownst to anybody else. And, you know, she's only there a short period of time. It's kind of, I feel like she's a nice plot point that can be used.
Well, here's what I thought they were doing.
Probably her in combination with Daryl, if he's the other one that's not wanting to be there.
Well, I think, because remember, here's another wild card in play, and that we don't know where Morgan is.
That's true. But
Morgan has to meet up with him at some point. So you could have Daryl leaving and meet up with Morgan, or Morgan could show up at Alexandria. No idea what's going on with that. But here's what I thought they were doing with Enid, is that because Sophia is still in the comics and – or is at this point in Alexandria, basically, still in the comics, she's still alive. And surprisingly, Carol is not in the comics. They've been playing off Carl and Sophia in the comics as sort of, you know, male and female going through this crazy fucked up world. So I'm wondering if Enid could be the plant to eventually turn into that role for Carl.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see. I like what they've kind of recently done with her in the comics, in the sense that she's almost turned out tougher than Carl in some ways. I just don't know. That's like you said before. It's nice to watch a show that at once seems familiar, but also it's still surprising.
Yeah, they're like I said, they're hitting enough of the high points from the comic that we don't feel alienated, but they're keeping it original enough where we can't stop watching, you know. So, and I think my problem with the Game of Thrones might be fixed with season 5. So,
I heard there's quite a few different things in there.
Well, there was a theory that they were going to avoid the Daenerys camping debacle a lot of...
Keep in mind, I'm reading book 3 right now, so don't tell me if anyone's dead.
No. I don't want to tell you if anyone's alive either. I mean, so...
Okay.
Hasn't Martin already said they're going to kill off at least one or two people that aren't dead in the books?
Yeah, he said at least one. So he thinks that they're crazier than he is. And I'm like, well, if they're basically going to surpass you and have to finish this just based on your outline, they've got to be. So,
by the way, did you happen to catch the item I posted up about the fox?
Fox. Remind me. I have no brain.
The Atlanta Film Festival.
Foxy.
The Atlanta Film Festival is showing the premiere.
Really?
at the Fox.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That Game of Thrones on a screen that big. Holy shit.
I forgot the date.
Size of the penises.
I forgot the date, but the tickets, they are giving them away as we record this tomorrow.
I will take a look at that. Well done, WXIA-TV. Game of Throne to premiere at Fox Theater. Just one. Only one.
Only one.
I will find that and look at it. I am intrigued. Because I'm hoping that's going to be good. I do like the poster that they've released. So, the first episode is on April 12th. Two weeks before it premieres.
Yep.
Wow.
When's the IMAX run? Because I know is that before or after the IMAX run?
Holy shit, they're doing it on IMAX?
That was the rumor that the premiere was going to be on IMAX.
Oh, no, hang on. Game of Thrones, the IMAX experience. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, they're showing season 4, episodes 9 and 10.
Okay.
Well, maybe. Hang on. Or did I miss that?
I think that's already happened.
That may have already happened. Stand by. And an exclusive preview of season 5. Well, shit. Okay, well, that's fine. I think that's – I am on their official site, the IMAX people, and they don't show anything else beyond that.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's probably done for now. Although we could watch Cinderella in IMAX.
Well, if you watch Cinderella and pretend there are dragons in it, maybe that works for you. I don't know.
That would actually be really cool. If there's a change up in Act 3.
Instead of the mice, it's dragons.
God, that would be great. Dear internets, please make me a trailer that's a mashup between Cinderella and Game of Thrones. Go.
We'll get the X-Men Wes Anderson people on that.
So, yeah, I would be happy with that.
You know they'd end up just photoshopping Cinderella into, like, the scene where Khal Drogo is having sex with her.
Oh, I'm sure that already exists somewhere.
Oh, there's already an Aquaman.
Challenge accepted.
Warning. So, yeah, I'm just looking at the other things that are going to be IMAX experiences. Crimson Peak, the IMAX experience. Okay.
Unite the Seven Dwarves. Sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
You what? Huh?
Because he was talking about the Aquaman thing in Disney movies. I got Unite the Seven Dwarves. Never mind. Keep going.
Oh, nice. I love the...
Badass dwarves.
I wanted it to be the Seven Soldiers of Victory. I thought that would be great. But I'm crazy like that.
You're so crazy.
I'm so crazy. He's Carl Oren, I guess, is what he's playing. He looks pretty cool. I guess.
He looks like a rock.
He kind of does, like, with an incredible amount of wiggage going on.
Yeah.
So what is this about? So we've got, speaking of the DC, I guess the televised universe, the DCTU versus the DCCU, is that we've got a Supergirl series coming.
Yeah.
And then they're still talking about like a team show that would be all of a supporting cast from The Flash or something.
It'd be Firestorm and Adam.
It'd be Firestorm. Who else?
Firestorm and Adam. Firestorm comes from Flash, and Adam comes from Arrow. And there's a talk of a third character, too, but they really haven't said who.
I don't really watch any of those shows, but I do want to see Brandon Rouse get more work, so I'd be happy if Adam gets his own show.
Well, I think that's guaranteed right now that they're going to do the show. And they're all of them are being produced by the same company. So even the Supergirl and... the Flash and this, whatever they're going to call it, and Arrow are all by the same producer. So they do have sort of their television version of Kevin Feige.
Although isn't Supergirl going to be like, it's on CBS, so it's going to be a procedural where she solves like crimes every week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Crime.
Yeah, she'll solve crimes in Las Vegas.
As long as they bring back the flying mirror, I'm fine.
I just want.
Well, you heard that. I can't remember her name.
Helen Slater.
Slater and Dean Cain are going to be in Supergirl. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want a Faye Dunaway cameo at some point. That would make me happy.
Nice.
She deserves it.
Isn't she dead?
Yeah.
No.
Why isn't she dead?
Whoa.
Medical science.
Wow.
Can we also have a
not keeping John alive?
I know. I also want maybe she like frequents a malt shop called the Omega Hedron. That'd be great. it's got a replica of it that just rotates like on a stand, like those old like Astro things that you would have in 50s drive-ins that just, you know, planet, except it's the Omega Hedron. Or not even called the Omega Hedron, just have that in the background. That would make me happy.
You got a Titan show coming?
Do they?
Is that still happening?
I don't know. Because, that turned into Teen Titans Go.
No, this is live action.
I think I know.
Anything recently, so I don't know.
I think that's still a thing.
Live action television. Okay, yeah. TNT has ordered a pilot for a live action. But where is this? When is this?
TNT? Ooh.
Well, that's from towards the end of. But it's Akiva Goldsman. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. Didn't mean to get your hopes up. Oh, well. Well, you know what's surprising to me is that the thing that I still. And I need to rewatch the pilot because I don't even remember it. But I'm still sort of surprised that Marvel is not doing anything with a live-action Power Pack series. Because that just seems like a no-brainer.
Oh, give them time.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've got, you know, so much else going on.
Although I'm wondering, does Power Pack run under X-Men?
No. No,
I bet it run under Java.
Or is it Fantastic Four?
No, they're their own thing.
Wasn't Franklin a member for a while?
Franklin was a character in the book. Yeah,
he was, but I mean, basically, they interacted with everybody. And they did a pilot. When was the pilot? Television.
Although, you know, it'd be a good fit for a Power Pack is ABC Family.
Although Fox is threatening. Isn't this part of Fox threatening to do stuff because they're talking about doing an X-Men series.
Right.
I wish Fox would just fuck off.
Which, if they can get an X-Men series and keep Gotham on the air.
That would be amusing.
Who watched The Last Man on Earth?
I did.
Did you like it?
I liked her in it more than him. I mean, I felt bad because when Will Forte was here for the film festival, he was talking about trying to develop this show. So I figured, well, I'll see it because he was talking about trying to develop it. But I'll give it a couple more weeks. But it's
a half an hour too long.
Well, it was too.
See, it's because it's a half hour show.
Bitch.
Yeah.
You say 40, no. Wait.
Scott, hang on. What rocks?
No, John was saying. So what did you say? Okay,
I said, John, you know, it's a half hour show.
It was like 40 minutes.
No. That was two episodes. The regular episode's 30 minutes long.
Oh, all right. Okay.
That's why I laughed. I thought that's what you were saying.
Oh, no.
On the power.
I did too originally, but go on. Sorry.
So, what was that, Scott?
On the Power Pack entry on Wikipedia, which is always right, it says that Marvel Studio announced that properties including Power Pack among those being considered for development.
Right, that's 2009.
Oh, shit. I just saw that. Damn.
Yeah. but yeah, no, it was 1991.
2010, Scott. You're going to love
that,
it.
But that does mean that Marvel has Power Pack.
You know, they're developing. Fox is developing a pilot for Generation X. Did you know that?
No. But at least that would get them away from most of the standard X-Men characters that we've seen. And to be honest, well, what's that?
No, that was part of the joke with the Scott thing, because they already did a Generation X pilot in, like, maybe 8.
Yeah, that was 8 years ago. I remember watching that.
It was horrible.
Oh, I never watched it.
Nice try. But what I was saying was, you know, like, ABC Family would be a good fit for them, and that's under Marvel, Disney, whatever the fuck they are now.
Well, I know that Runaways was in development for a while.
And apparently it's back in comic book form.
Yeah, I know. It's coming back with Secret Wars.
Though, you know what it could be? It might be that considering they are very young children, it could be they're looking at like 4 of them and the cost may not be enough. You know, kid actors do cost a lot more in terms of, you know, they can't work they have to get in like teachers and stuff like that. So maybe that's why they're not seriously looking at a Power Pack one.
Well, yeah, but if you're only doing 13 episodes, then you can stretch out the production longer.
Plus, you can do it during summer break, so they don't get the teachers in.
Possibly.
There's always Netflix.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, and so what? Daredevil's April, which I'm looking forward to.
So far away.
I know. And have they announced anything for any of the others?
I think Jessica Jones is tentatively November, right?
Okay. Yeah, they have started. They've cast some people, so.
Yeah, Tennant's the purple.
I am curious about that, considering, at least in the comics, Alias was so based in Marvel Comics continuity and everything. I'm really curious to see how they handle that with how connected Jessica Jones is with Marvel Cinematic.
Well, apparently she's going to be very connected to Luke Cage.
Yeah, with her. But
Oh god!
Well, it is Netflix.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're gonna fuck.
So
the
what
worst three words in cinematic history.
I am sort of curious how, like I said, I read the Alias comic book and there was a lot of stuff that, you know, that we haven't really established in the cinematic universe, so I'm wondering how they're going to juggle all that.
Well, I think basically because it's still in the MCU, you could say that she was a you know, whereas previously they inserted her into the Avengers as a character that was no longer in costume, they could just say that she had been an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
when that fell apart, she went into private practice.
Well, yeah, when her career fell apart, thanks to Kilgrave.
Well, are they going to do that, or are they just going to? I mean, obviously.
I don't know. I'll ring him up. Hold on.
What's that? What'd you say, Aaron?
Hello? I'm ringing them up to find out. Hold on one second.
Okay, good.
Hello? Yeah? Okay, no? Okay, cool. They're not telling me, Scott. I'm really sorry. But excellent question. And I feel like you're on the right path.
Oh, God.
And he's a professional.
Was the 8-ball cloudy, Aaron?
Full-time. He's full-time, folks.
I love you, Scott.
So here's a question too.
In the creepiest way possible.
Speaking of superhero stuff, Powers starts like next week.
Yeah, but it's on the Sony network. Who cares?
But it's got Charlton Copley.
Say that 5 times fast.
No.
Yeah, but you need a goddamn PlayStation. Fuck that.
Charlton Copley, Eddie Izzard, and Noah Taylor. So.
You don't need a PlayStation. You can get the little PlayStation TV box, which is about $300 cheaper. But, yeah, I see your point.
Nah.
For a comic book I don't even read.
Well, basically,
all I want to know is, are they eventually going to do the monkey fucking issue?
Hello.
See, we now remember different.
It was when I thought I was out. Scott pulled me back in, ladies.
Scott remembered different high points from that series than I did, obviously.
Well, it wasn't that much of a high point.
Well, that's true. You love the low points, so. But I'm basically the first Aaron. I will say the first story arc of that, Who Killed Retro Girl, is awesome. It's really good. Okay. And at a certain point, they went down a path. I think like 40 issues in or something, they went down a weird road where I was like, why are you doing this?
Is that when their version of Superman went bug fuck crazy?
No, it's more where part of it was that certain characters didn't have powers and one of them suddenly got powers. And I was like,
oh, that was after the bug fuck crazy.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
You know what I'd really like to see them try to do is Astro City.
Oh, God. Now you're just making me.
Down to the Astro City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Now you're making me want a top 10 show, Scott. Now I'm going to weep.
Well, for one thing, you don't have to deal with but no, I mean, a lot of stuff in Astro City, I mean, the whole beauty storyline they had was really interesting, where this person constructed a literal Barbie doll android, but she has, like, superpowers and shit. And it's like, you know, she constantly is trying to find her creator, but she keeps failing. They've done some really excellent runs. Even with the new stuff, they've done some excellent stuff with it.
I'll just say that if you've not read the Alan Moore book, Top 10, read.
Oh my God, I love Top 10.
Jesus Christ, it's so good. I'm so sad there isn't more of it.
I know.
That's Alan Moore being a dick.
No, it's just. No. It's. I mean, he basically did his thing and he's done. Yeah. So.
But we want more, goddammit.
Well, it was a collective.
See,
it was
can
a collective
I just.
Effort.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, of course, with him and Gene Ha, who's the first artist, and then Xander Cannon, I think, came in after, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But see, I'd like to point out, Aaron, that is the problem. Scott is indicative of what you've been talking about that's wrong with movies, is because he wants more, goddammit, creative or not. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, Aaron?
I kind of blanked out when you said Scott's and dick, and then lost it from there.
Oh, God.
Scott said he wants more dick.
Well,
Tracy.
Yeah, no one is surprised. This is the sound of Jack's utter lack of surprise. That's we got a fuck ton of superhero stuff coming, or at least comic book stuff coming. There's a lot of it.
At what point do we get completely sick of all this?
Well, I think
they make bad ones.
Well, yeah, I mean... Oh, go ahead.
Well, apparently Fox
was...
Well, hang on, Toughly first. Well, hang on, Toughly first. Go, Toughly.
Apparently, Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue have a development deal for TV. And apparently Sex Criminals is going to be first, so...
I don't... Yeah, and I don't know how you're going to make that into a TV show.
I don't know how you're going to make it. Yeah, that was my thought. I don't know how you're going to make that a TV
Skinamax.
Show. But...
Skinamax.
And you've got
porn.
You've got Warren Ellis working with Gail Ann Hurd on something, which they haven't decided what it is yet.
And you've still got Global Frequency that I'm kind of worried about, but...
Well, of course, because, I mean...
Bruckheimer and Fox, come on.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I was going to say was, I think it'll happen soon. As long as they remember that being a superhero property doesn't mean all capes and spandex and stuff. If they do different things with the material, like they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, and what they're doing with the Netflix stuff, you know, superhero doesn't mean, you know, what a lot of people think it means. Is that? They're playing enough with a genre that we're not going to get sick of it right away because it's not the same thing.
I'm going to be curious to see what they do with iZombie.
That's not a joke, by the way.
It doesn't look good.
I haven't seen anything from it yet, but I'm curious to see how that's handled.
I don't know.
Okay. You're not.
It reminds me a lot of that. It reminds me a lot of that Elias Dushku thing a few years ago, where
like Dollhouse.
No. The one where she like takes care of bodies, and somehow she jumps back 7 days to.
Something falls. Yeah.
So, I am a little worried. It could be good, but I'm like, it's going to have to work to intrigue me,
fellas.
Yeah, you better work.
What?
Was that a yawn? That was a yawn going into the RuPaul mention. Yeah. So,
well, you better work. What?
Well, my thing is this: is that again, if they're doing it well, if it's at least enjoyable, then I think that the ones that aren't holding their own are going to fall by the wayside, because there are so many properties that I think. They're going to, you know, if they try it and it doesn't work, well, why should we keep flogging this dead horse? Let's go over here and try this one, you know? I mean, especially the DC and Marvel folks, they have so – they can tap anything that they've got in their catalog. So why not?
Right. And the thing is there's a variety of ways to approach the material so you don't have a it's not so similar that you will get sick of it because you sing the same thing over and over and over again. That's what I was trying to say. It's like with zombie movies. I mean, you do enough different stuff with them, you won't get sick of zombie movies, but it's the same thing over and over
again. I mean, even at the same time, I mean, comics have been writing almost the same fucking stories for 50 years, but there's still an audience for them. It'll fluctuate, it'll go up and down, but, you know, there'll always be superhero stories in any format. I think the only reason why we're getting all of them now is because we actually have the technology to make them now. But I don't think they're ever going to go away anymore. That idea of like, oh, it's a fad, I think should be thrown out the window. I think this is a legitimate genre now that just is always going to be there, like zombie movies, like action movies, like dramas. There's always going to be superhero films now.
And it'll be cyclical. There'll be more of them. There'll be more of them at some points and less of them.
John, sit up.
Scott, blow me.
I'll be back in a jiffy.
Hold on, I take that back.
Is that a proposition, sir? Do we have that officially? Does that count?
Yeah, you better be careful what you say.
No.
Scott, that's not your line. That's mine. You're looking at the wrong line.
What?
I've got the yellow paper this time.
No one told me.
No one tells you anything, Scott. That's,
I know.
That's the genius of this show.
That's the only genius. That's the only thing we've got going for us. That's why we should have been nominated for Parsec.
Actually, clueless. Great. Just wonderful.
Scott's left hand doesn't know what his left hand is doing.
Oh,
what
knows?
We've secretly traded Scott's crystal meth for Folger's crystals. Let's watch what happens.
Wow.
Wait.
Throw in some bath salts while you're at it.
Toughly.
Yeah, the actual bath salts.
Wait. Toughly. Listen to me. I don't see any difference.
Well, my teeth are rotting, but they're now even more brown.
Well, stop shitting on it.
God!
What?
It was a Blumpkin gone wrong.
Yeah, he's Blumpkin.
Hot Pocket! Oh my god.
That was the faraway mention.
Can we do recommendations so we can end this?
Yes, anime? I think we should mosey towards recommendations since we've got.
I'm sorry, Rox, did you say end this sanity?
Yeah.
Rox is the voice sanity. Of sanity tonight, folks.
I know.
Isn't she always?
No, Scott, no.
Really?
No, but what? I mean, she drew the short straw tonight.
What's the continuous term of Blumpkin? Because, like, if you're Blumpkining.
All right, we need to stop that.
Recommendations!
You're Blumpkined.
Recommendations.
You could do a Tim Burton parody about being the Blumpkin King.
Who would be cast in that?
Under the doors. Because I think you can get a little more mileage with the doors.
Johnny Depp is the cock.
Let's mosey. Now that Rob's awake. Let's mosey towards recommendations. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Tuffly.
There's an album from Public Broadcasting Service, Public Service Broadcasting Company, for space.
Classic Returns.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. It's really nice. It is a quote concept record based on recordings from NASA and various space agencies about the early 60s space race. Which is pretty good. Let's see. The Noel Gallagher record came out, Chasing Yesterday.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Johnny Marr's on a couple of the tracks, so I'll recommend that as well. And that's it for me.
Yeah, I would say probably the track. The single is In the Heat of the Moment, right? Is that the single?
I think it's Ballad of the Mighty Eye right now.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I would say my favorite track on there is probably In the Heat of the Moment. So if you want to sample it, that would be a good place to start. But that's a pretty good album. All right, cool. Thank you so much. What the fuck?
Apparently I'm in THX. I don't know.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Rox.
All right, I just got one. I am reading Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway, which was her take on James Joyce's Ulysses, which takes place all in one day in the life of a Clarissa Dalloway. The interesting thing, since we were talking about what inspires what, the copy of the book that I have, the cover says Virginia Woolf, Mrs. Dalloway, and then there's a little circle emblem that says the novel that inspired The Hours. There you go. Oh my gosh.
Which ones?
Yeah, which hours?
Which hour?
Two,
oh, I don't know.
Two
I think
or
it's
three.
Like whenever that guy dies in the hour, which is what, 6 o'clock?
Around 7 p.m.
7 p.m., yeah. There you go, 7 p.m.
So for the record, it occurs between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Yes. But I just think it's funny. It's like, here's this emblem. You know, oh, hey, if you like that book, read this one. Okay, whatever. Anyway, that's what I'm reading. Done.
All right. Thanks, Rox. Okay, go, Scott.
Okay. I was watching PBS, and I happened to the British Bake Off. Oh, my God. I love it.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my God. The thing is, what's great about it is it's not your typical cooking show that we have in America where it's all jump cuts and music.
Are they holding guns to their heads?
Values.
No. That's the thing. It's nice. It's summary. Very reserved.
I think it's quite possibly the most British show ever.
Oh my God, the food. Even though they're cooking French pastry, it's very British. And the bakery. And oh my God, it's like, I just want to raid like a bakery after I see it and just eat everything.
And it's also like, you've made complete shit, but they say it to you in such a nice and pleasant way.
Yeah.
There's
a little lady called Mary Berry. That's her real name. She's not a Stanley
and
character.
And she's like, she's vicious, but she kind of mellows. Like, she'll say, this is utter shit. Oh, but love, I know you tried. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I know.
Mary
so
Berry
nice
looks
they have
like...
It outside. What's really nice is they have it outside. In a tent. In a garden, you have like the little pastoral scenes and stuff, and it's so different from like American reality competition shows. It's just like, but you still feel the tension, but it's not artificial. You do feel,
and you don't get that weird thing. Yeah, you don't get that weird thing where, like, in American shows where, like, some two people will automatically start bad-mouthing each other to try and, like, make some sort of personal competition between themselves. Like, everybody has to root for each other.
Yeah. You don't overdo the music and it can make it really tense. No, they don't do that.
Although that one lesbian girl looks uncannily like David Tennant, which frightens me. But
Perkins, yeah.
And then the Mary Berry kind of looks like Amelia Rumford from the Stones of Blood in Doctor Who. But
she does. Yes, she does.
But
although she doesn't have the truncheon, which could help.
That's okay. But it's like weird because like they'll watch other people baking. And they'll just come over and watch it. It's not like, go away, you know, piss off. You know, it's like, and then, you know,
they're the judges. You're not going to tell them to piss off.
No. I mean, the other competition people.
People go over. Oh.
Yeah, like when Norm goes over and talks to the one lady and she's like, oh, I think my insides are a little too soft. I don't think I'm going to do well. And the other one says, oh, it'll be all right. I mean, it's just like the interaction between the people actually baking. It's like, nobody's like, go away, and nobody, you know, it's like they're all really pleasant, and you very easily could see, since it's a big tent outside, you see this huge manor house in the back, it's like, oh yeah, they go get loaded after this is done. They all go hang out and drink,
And besides, I like my insides a little soft every now and then.
Ladies.
So what is this show again?
It's called The Great British Baking Show.
Oh.
And Bake Off. And you know what's really sad?
The Great British Baking Show, yeah.
They tried to do this in America. Guess who they had as the host?
Who?
Adam Carolla.
Adam
Curry.
Fresh.
Well, I would say if you enjoy Fluffy. Sue Perkins,
they had Fluffy.
What? Nothing. I would say if you enjoy Sue Perkins from that, you should check out the series that she did with Giles Corin called The Supersizers, where they go back.
Oh my god, I love that show.
Basically, they go back and eat the cuisine of a particular era for like a week, and then see what it does to their bodies. They like get physicals before and after. So they'll go to like Imperial Rome, and wartime Britain, and all kinds of places.
How many times have they gotten scurvy?
No, well the thing is the wartime the World War II one, they were actually the most healthiest.
Well,
era.
Well,
there's like a chef in town that's doing like a series of dinners that are different time periods.
Yeah,
I can't imagine doing ancient Rome. Their taste palette back then was so different from ours.
Oh, even during the Regency, Scott, oh my god, you need to find it because it's like the weird supersizers.
Okay.
There's like this one pie thing that they just throw in all sorts of chicken parts and thing. And the thing is the dough, it's like a Dutch oven that they keep using over and over and over again. It's just so disgusting.
The Elizabethan era one too, where they were just eating ungodly amounts of like meat.
Yeah, and they actually
came back not too badly off from that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And they thought they were going to just keel over dead.
But then there was the one where they just drank.
Nobody
drank water.
And hilariously, Sue is not a heavyweight when it comes to drinking.
No.
So she will get fucking sloshed.
Yeah, they even did that dangerous thing where she drank. What did she eat it? It was pretty much like the British version of like fugu or something. That it was just poisonous, and she got some sort of like. It was off, but it was sort of poison item.
Yeah, I don't. But that's a good series. They did two series of it, and one special, I think.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, and the last thing I'm going to recommend is gay marriage. I've been to two gay marriages recently, and they were wonderful. And I think the rest of you, Georgia, should go ahead and get that, worked out because they're just wonderful.
Hey, but Doc, no, hang on. I was going to say, and our own Doc Ezra,
yes,
basically did four of them in direct defiance of the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. So
yes.
Which is so awesome, I can't even tell you.
When I went to these weddings, the sky did not fall, the earth did not open, and Armageddon did not happen.
You know, except at the end of the day, they're married. So, you know, they got that going against them.
Glad you said that instead of me.
You know what? In some cases, they
and my wife's asleep, so that's why.
Wardrobe, you know.
But I think the next show to pitch is Gay Divorce Court.
Think about it. Oh my God, the drama.
Yeah.
The drama would be so
called Divorce Race Star.
Oh yeah, engine. And the shade that would be thrown would be epic.
The shade of it all.
Yes.
Yeah. Although this
I have been binge watching RuPaul's Drag Race on Netflix.
I know, and it started tonight. I'm gonna watch it after this and see what ridiculousness there is.
They should get rid of Judge Joe Brown and replace him with Doc. I'd watch that.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
But no, for the rest of you states that haven't figured that out, do it. It won't hurt you. And it'll help. Do you know how ridiculous gay weddings can get? Imagine what's the word I'm looking for? Injection into your economy.
Lady. Also your ass.
So basically, what we're saying is that the problem of the world economy could be solved by both legalizing pot and gay marriage.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, what was it, 700 million? They
pounds
made
of the stuff. Pounds of the stuff.
Well, actually, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
Colorado, surplus.
I read an article where they're saying that they're actually under the estimated amount of pot that they're supposed to sell. And you know, I know with your liking that they're overtaxing the legal stuff. So a lot of people are staying with their medical marijuana because that isn't costing them as much.
Mm.
But I am right, I think, in that number, though. It's like, Colorado made 700 million.
Columbia made a little bit more than that.
No, they collected, I'm looking at the article from Bloomberg, they did $63 million dollars in tax revenue. So, yeah, so you're right. $699 million, that's combined medical and recreational pot sales.
Right. But the thing is, they're saying that like legal pot is not as much as they thought it was going to be because of all the taxes for people who have medical marijuana or certain, you know, supposed problems. They're staying on it because it's cheaper than the regular.
Well, I'm looking at the chart here, which shows from February to December of 2014, the medical amount, medical marijuana amount. Was just over 300,000 plants worth and is now just at 300,000. Whereas the retail, though, has gone from 50,000 up to over 200,000. So,
yeah. But
how could any governor look at that like and say, no, we don't need that sort of money in our state?
Hippies. Hippies.
Because
that's why.
Aaron, I mean, first of all, a lot of governors are dumb. And I mean, you have governors that aren't even supporting lotteries, you know, which I'm like, yeah, if there's a tax on people who don't understand odds, collect it, you know, why not?
Well, the thing is, a lot of these people have like been so indoctrinated with like the just say no, and they still think it's all hippies and bad people and. You know, they think it supports one political party where it won't support the other party. So that's why there's still a lot of, like, problems with it. I mean, they just had one – I can't remember who said it, but they said that smoking pot while you're pregnant will lead to crack babies.
Oh, yeah. That was on Fox News, I think.
Yeah,
it will also lead to you eating babies.
Well, what I love is that
– delicious, Colorado. Delicious babies.
Oh, you know, that's interesting. Oh, okay. They look – food sales after they legalize pot?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Go up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, because edibles is we saw it on Vice, I think. Where
no, I'm not talking about edibles. I'm talking about munchies.
Oh, just regular food sales because people have the munchies. Got it.
Exactly. I'd love to see if that's gone up. What are you doing Rob, to your mic?
Rob, what were you going to say?
Well, in Colorado, KFC got a business license to sell it legally in their restaurants.
They're going to bring the devil down back.
Yeah, no, they got.
Is that a
weed McFlurry?
No.
Exactly.
That's a South Park episode.
Yeah, so now when you get your bucket from the Colonel, you know, there'll be a little something extra for the secret sauce or the special seasoning.
So it's now 12 herbs and spices.
Yeah.
But no, that was a South Park episode where they made KFC illegal because of trans fats, but then they brought in miracle marijuana.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
The other thing that sort of makes people not want to go towards legalizing marijuana is a lot of cops make a lot of money busting dealers. So you have cops going, but
they're always to arrest black people no matter what. So, I mean, really.
Yes, Scott, they make money arresting everybody here. It's okay.
I know, but that it's just, you know,
there's a huge
but
they have to think
seriously,
harder to find that next, so it's like.
Rob, do they even bother arresting people anymore? Up by you?
Yes, they do.
Or do they just shoot them?
They got to help those private prisons.
Well, hang on, Scott. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, now they have a thing downtown where they can just pull you over and search your car just randomly. So that's – no one's going downtown now. But in general, it's getting a little better. It's just – it's interesting. I will say that the highway patrol people are much more – by nature, more pleasant to deal with than the other people. But literally, it is like Atlanta. St. Louis has got all these little outer – counties, sort of a periphery of – there's the actual city and everything else. It literally is – department by department. Depends on where you go in the city or in the county, what you're going to get. It literally is that. It's night and day. You go one part of the city, it's the Wild West. The next part, it's, hey, have a nice day. I mean, it just really depends on where you're going and what type of day.
So it's as different as black and white?
Or Bosnian or Mexican, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a large population here too. No one can hear you. You're being drowned out by, I don't know what.
Roxburgh got the gong.
By formerly genius musicians copping to a very schmaltzy song.
Who's next?
Yeah, so
done!
There's the gong. So who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Aaron!
Much like Scott, I will recommend Marriage for All or Marriage Equality. Ireland are having its first referendum on the subject in approximately, I think, 2 months.
How's it looking?
They haven't really done many polls on it, so it's hard to tell.
Really?
I think it's just a little bit far out at the moment for them for the media to start really polling it up, because there's a lot of other issues getting more attention at the moment, like
water, you have no money,
the water taxes and stuff like that, which has had major protests and has brought the city to a standstill on a number of occasions.
We had that in Detroit too, where they were bugging people about their water bills.
Yeah, they're still going, and actually they came over to our protest as well to kind of observe and take part to Detroit Water Brigade, who are very cool people, by the way. I was actually at the protest and met a couple of them. They're very nice. So they haven't really gone whole hog in it yet, but it's
the general consensus is that it will pass, but we have a very, very strong conservative voting group in this country, and the government in power are essentially a conservative group as well. So I'm worried, but I'll be getting my ass out and voting one way or the other.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can tell people you won't be Russian. If they vote for gay marriage, they won't be like the Russians. That should work.
We don't really give a fuck about Russians here, Scott.
Is Bono all over TV about this?
No. Bono's got a bad back at the moment, so he's laying low.
Oh. So there's going to be the next referendum will be to raise money to fix Bono's hand and then his back?
Yeah, he's having a live aid concert in an aid of his back.
Aren't they just rebooting Bono as the $6 million man?
No, please don't.
I wish they reboot Bono as Moon Boy. And then Moon Boy could take over. That actually, a couple of recommendations for me are TV recommendations. First of all, Moon Boy season 3 started on Monday night. If you have not seen season 1 and 2, get your fucking ass to whatever torrent site you work from. And you can order the DVDs.
Please wire.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, order the DVDs. Yeah, go for it. It's fucking boss. That is one of the best comedy shows made in the past 5 years or so. Along with it is a brand new show that just finished on the air here. I don't think you guys have got it at all. It's called Catastrophe. It stars Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan. And it is the best reviewed TV show I've seen in the wild. It's a short comedy series, 6 episode, as the UK do. But it's about Rob Delaney, American, who anybody on Twitter will know him. He's incredibly funny stand-up. But his character comes to the UK for a business trip, accidentally gets Sharon Horgan, who's an Irish comedian, knocked up, and it goes from there. But it's really good. It's really fucking good. It's actually one of those kind of comedy shows that, like, you know, makes you feel things as well. But yeah, go get that if you haven't seen it yet either.
I think Hulu gets that next month.
Fantastic. Go Hulu.
and Aaron, should I be alarmed that when you said Moon Boy, I originally thought you meant the companion of Devil Dinosaur?
This is a Google whack for everybody, John.
What? That's a Marvel character.
Oh yeah, but come on, I don't know. That's like Z-list Marvel character.
When has that stopped anybody?
I know. Still.
Win.
What? Huh? What?
West Side ever stopped
joining the Avengers? That's all.
What were you saying, Scott?
I was saying, when has that ever stopped you, Widge?
When is whatever?
Okay, hold on.
Me?
I'll ring him. Hold on 1 second. I'll ring him. I'll find out.
Never mind. Never mind.
On, Aaron. I wish.
Hey, Aaron. What's up?
Has anything ever stopped you, or like when has it ever stopped you?
I think
such a Chris Farley question.
Once I was slipped some decaf, and that didn't go very well. But
what the fuck did that?
I haven't really been stopped since then.
Okay. I'll let Scott know. Thanks very much.
Yeah, sure. But if you really want to mess with him, tell him that it's all classified and it'll be revealed in the next season, so you can be all mysterious and stuff. You know that drives him up the fucking wall when people don't tell him things.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Okay, bye.
And which
make up things.
So he basically equates you with Russia, Scott. Is what you're hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's now, comedy professional right there, people.
Seems as like the last podcast hasn't aired yet, so God knows when this one's going to air. Should we recommend the thing we've been working on that might be will most likely be live by the time this goes live?
Which thing that we've been working on? Because we've talked about a couple things.
Well, the one that has like is going to cost the most amount of money.
Oh, your sex change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a Patreon where he's going to change sexes and you give him money for each change that he has.
That's a horrible thing to say about Amanda Palmer.
Whoa.
Oh.
Wow.
Awkward.
Wow. like Aaron's eyebrows.
So I'm guessing the answer is no.
Yeah, I'm guessing by him sidestepping the question means no.
No, I mean, you go for it if you want to, because it's coming whether or not, you know, this airs tomorrow, so, which it's not going to. So.
Me too.
No. Okay, well, by the time this goes live, there should be a Kickstarter online that you can donate to, which is from myself, JJ Hawkins, Widget Walls, and Ken Plume, and is a documentary that myself and JJ have been working on for a while that we're hoping can get funded, and it's about being creative on the internet, which is kind of what we're doing, kind of, if you can call Weekend Justice being creative. But it's about people who make a living making art online.
Fuck you.
Yeah. It features nobody on this podcast now. But no, we're going to talk to the likes of Len Peralta, who's a very successful artist who does Geek Week Online. We'll be talking to Maya Lewis, who's got a really successful Patreon page, as well as, you know, just kind of growing up in the YouTube era. Talking to John Hodgman, who's got some interesting views about it. We've got a lot of people lined up, more people than we have confirmed at this point, but the time it goes live, we'll have loads. Yeah, we hope that people want to watch this. It's just how, you know, in this day and age, when everyone downloads shit for free, how do you make something and actually make a living by doing it in the internet era? And we're kind of fascinated by the different ways that people do it. Like Kevin Smith has a very fascinating kind of work process where he just gave up on making movies, didn't want to do them anymore, but via his podcast, which he's kind of was his main income, which again is unusual, he found an idea for a movie and got it funded by the public. And just how, like, kind of, you know, Kickstarter and Patreon and all those crowdsourcing things, like, how do people really manage those? But YouTube is an interesting one as well, because we're noticing that some people are walking away. Molly Lewis, for example, who we're going to be interviewing, she walked away from YouTube because she didn't like the way that they worked. And she found Patreon a better kind of thing as well. So we'll be talking to people about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, because I know a lot of YouTubers.
Yeah, Other Woman's doing a Patreon thing right now, too.
Yeah.
She does cello covers, and she's doing this huge Patreon thing to get a record funded. And I don't think she likes YouTube for the sort of the reasons I think you mentioned.
Yeah, they have some shady kind of advertising kind of loopholes.
They'll assume that the person who says that you are copyright violation, they'll assume that they're, you know, that you are, without checking with you.
Yeah, that's part of it, but also as well that you don't always get the money for the advertising that you have on your page. There's weird kind of loopholes on that. So, but anyway, I mean, it's a thing that I think the norms, the muggles who aren't online, you know, this is all stuff that they don't even comprehend. But then for us as well, because, you know, we do things online. Like, I've done podcasts for years. I write articles. I'll never see a cent for it. I'd love to kind of know a little bit more, you know, and learn a bit from these people who, you know, this is their livelihoods. But also as well as, like, how you build and maintain an audience online as well. Like, you know, it's fascinating how some people have kind of, you know, like musicians, for example, we were talking about them before, how they, you know, if your audience is internet based, that means they're scattered all over the world. So when it comes to actually playing gigs, you know,
where do you go?
It's tough. And like Marion Call is, like, you know, she's funded tours around Europe, and she had a very fascinating way of doing it and basically finding out, like, where people are, you know, have a couch to crash on. And she had a point system based on what was available in different towns and cities. So, you know, it's an unusual age to be creative. And we're interested in seeing all the different ways that people do that. So,
you know, what I would love, if you could do it, I don't know if you can, is talk to the guys from Welcome to Night Vale. How the hell did they blow up so big so fast with the podcast?
Yeah, well, we'll be talking to some people involved in that, hopefully. Maybe not the main guys, but some people involved in that and other kind of things like Thrilling Adventure Hour and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll be hoping to kind of touch on all those guys. But a lot of people we don't have confirmed yet. So by the time this goes live, you know, the Kickstarter should have a lot more people confirmed. But we're still talking to some people at the moment. But yeah, so I'm excited with it. I think it could be a fun project. And I think it'd be something that could have got some interest. So, yeah, that's a Kickstarter, which if this is live, Widge will link in the comments section.
I think we'll be linking before then, hopefully.
Yeah. But just in case someone's completely blind to it.
That's really interesting, and if I had money, I'd give you some.
Hooray!
Start walking.
I'll take Chris's imaginary money.
Scott, you're on the red light.
Hey, Scott, you don't have to turn on the red light.
Thank you.
You know,
I just use Craigslist like everybody else.
Did you say Craigslist? What?
Yeah, he did.
That's the section.
If he brought back the One Woman Thatcher show, though, he could make a mint.
I know.
He uses that app, Liquor, Licker.
Is that taken yet? Hold on, let me check.
did you ever get Wikipedia, which is alwaysright.com?
What? Huh?
Well, you know how you always say Wikipedia, which is always right. Did you ever get the domain?
Oh, that's
you say Wikipedia? Are you making fun of our Asian fans, Scott?
He said Lickipedia.
Okay.
A list of things he's licked. No, I have not gotten that because
fit on the internet.
I have better things to do with my money.
Should we mention that it's a factually incorrect list of things he's licked?
That the public can amend and add to.
I feel like I just saw
canilickit.com.
I'm not sure what just happened. All right, so Aaron, what? Huh? No, Aaron.
I feel like
Aaron,
I saw. Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah, I've rambled long enough.
All right, thank you, Eric. All right, what in the world? So, Rob, I guess you're next.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, I want to recommend the new album Sigils by Cave of Swords. They're from St. Louis, but they're going to blow up. Really, they are. I'm serious. And then also there's a new record from a band called Zumi Zoma. Yumi Zoma are from New Zealand. I sent you this. Did I send you this? No, I didn't send you this. But they're from New Zealand. They're a threesome, and it is catchy as hell. Damn them. Imagine a cross between like San Cisco and Chromeo. I guess Toffley will get that joke. But yeah, it's really good power pop from New Zealand with synthesizers. Also, the new Purity Ring record, Another Eternity, which is probably out before the podcast comes out in 7 months. Yeah, the new Purity Ring. It's their second album. It's a little more advanced, a little more deep than their first one. And the new Best Coast record, California Nights. Sort of the last album was kind of like a homage to like 70s and surf pop. This one's very much in the vein of the 90s. So I recommend that. And we were talking about British shows earlier here. They've been showing a series called Grantchester, which is really fun. It's that sort of crime story, except the guy who solves crimes is a vicar. So it's kind of like Father Ted if he was smart and solved crime. And it's actually pretty great. So I do want to recommend that. And one of the girls in it may be the new companion in Doctor Who. So that is also good. And, also, I would be completely remiss. I shouldn't even have to recommend this, but I would be completely remiss if I did not recommend this week in particular, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
Although I have to say there's one really creepy part in it where Kirk comes off the lift, he sees Spock and goes, "Aren't you dead?" That part's a little messy, but yeah. So,
did anyone see the thing I posted? Maybe not, but the thing I posted that the Leonard Nimoy reading Ray Bradbury.
Yeah,
I did, and
yeah,
I think I shared it.
Yeah, the Soft Rains. That is an album that is actually already out in the UK. It's from Zarelli. But that album is actually already out in the UK. That's actually coming out here next week. Which is a record which is based off Nimoy reading bits from There Will Be Soft Rains.
Yes.
And Zarelli playing under it. So
nice. Yeah, I see they're doing, what is it, MP3, and that was originally when we posted that for, I think, one of the 32 Days of Halloween. It was still, the vinyl was the only thing that was available. Uh-huh. So I'm glad they're reissuing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if is the website selling the MP3s, because I looked it up and Amazon's going to have it, but iTunes is not.
Yeah, March 10th is when it's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
So. Rob, what else you got?
No, that's pretty much it. I do want to say, though, that, you know, we always talk about in the last week, the conversation's always been about Leonard Nimoy, his Bach, and all this other stuff. But his recording career and his spoken word vocal stuff is pretty amazing and pretty great. So if you can find his pop record, normally when movie actors
make
pop records,
the Bilbo Baggins song.
But his version of Ruby, Don't Take Your Guns to Town is great.
Oh yeah,
I was actually just gonna say that, Rob. That is actually very good.
Yeah, his version of I Walk the Line is also very good.
Yeah, that's good too. Yeah.
If I Had a Hammer, I laugh every time I hear it, but it's still, I mean, vocally, he was pretty on top of it.
Yeah,
and you know, for somebody that was coming off of being in Star Trek at the time, you know, I'm going to do a singing career because it's far removed from what I did before. And if he had pulled that move now, it would have been a bigger success because of the way we view celebrity albums. But definitely worth investigating the musical catalog of Mr. Leonard Nimoy. And it's a lot of fun stuff. The Bilbo Baggins song is quite hilarious. If you can see the original video for it too, I recommend
that. It's got who is it that was in it? It's not Pam Darby.
Somebody. And
I forgot who it is. Anyway,
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
No.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She was in a lot of the 70s. You know, she was a heroine type of.
What, Twiggy?
Actress on heroin, no.
Twiggy. Twiggy's in everything. I completely have lost track of the name of it, but the new Kim Gordon book is very good as well. Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth.
Girl in a Band.
That's it, yeah. Has written an autobiography about her time being in a band, and it's. She don't hold back. And I would just say this. She is probably – her last year was probably as – for her, she was as bitter as Rox was grieving, if that gives you an idea of what you're up against.
Oh, gosh.
Shit.
So ideally, in a perfect world, Rox would interview Kim Gordon and they could exchange horror stories. But yeah, Girl in the Band, that's it. It was driving me nuts what the name of the thing was. But also quite good. I'm about three chapters in, and I recommend that as well. So.
Did you see the Sleater Kinney Bob's Burgers music video?
Yes.
That was quite cool.
That was fun.
Yeah, they are – it's interesting about them. They're already starting to pull back on interviews and sessions because they're starting to get burned out. So,
like back a week?
Well, I mean, I don't think they expected just the blowback of intro. I mean, it's you know, in a short amount of time, they've gotten touring after 9 years, the interest that's, you know, like the Who getting back together or something. It's like this mega event for so many people that it's like, you know, they're adding shows in some large cities and their schedule's pretty intense. So good for them.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Rob. John, what have you got? The fuck? What was that?
I would like to recommend. I don't know. That was the end of his segment, I guess.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't do anything. I just sat here. So. That sounds like the thing at the end of Zoom, though, that they used to play.
I would like to recommend Sleep Better ISO Cool Memory Foam Pillow for those times when Weekend Justice just goes a tad too long.
So every time.
And, yes. Every other Tuesday at around 11 o'clock, I recommend this thing. And I would buy that over at needcoffee.com/getyourpillow now at amazon.com. Right, Widge?
Oh, yeah.
There's two .coms in that.
Exactly that.
Well, one spelled D-O-T. It's not actually a dot.
Needcoffee.com/Amazon. John is correct in that. That will lead you directly to the front page of Amazon, just like
that's not what I said, Widge.
Yeah, I know. I just eventually gave up trying to do redirects for all of your awesome but crazy URLs and just hope people keep listening. That gives us some kickbacks, and that is appreciated because it helps, as Rob says, keep the lights on. For my recommendations, very quickly, I will recommend three albums. I don't remember if I mentioned it before. I think I did on the upcoming Soundboard episode, but Kate Tempest's album Everybody Down from last year is quite good, from the UK. Also, a musician called Layla McCalla has done an album that she funded through Kickstarter, where she set some of the poetry of Langston Hughes to music.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And she's a cellist. And I found her through, again, this and the other, my third recommendation, through Giles Peterson. So you can blame Rob for this. Her version of Heart of Gold is awesome. And there's a live version that she did on YouTube as well as the album version. But it's called Very Colored Songs. Yeah. And it's based on Langston Hughes. It's gorgeous. And also an album called The Story of Professor Earl Lett, which is a bunch of songs from Earl Lett, which I really enjoyed because it's basically out on Bandcamp, this album that's from the 60s, but they're basically reissuing it through Bandcamp. Or they actually sell also a limited edition vinyl version. So, but I think that's actually really smart to reissue stuff that has been out of print for a while. And as I discover every time I listen to Giles Peterson and Craig Charles, that there's just more and more stuff that I haven't heard yet, which fucking kills me. So any of the three of those albums, check them out and enjoy them. So, that brings us to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And I think just like with every episode of Weekend Justice, we should take a moment to stare at each other in
disbelief
and somehow mild amusement and say to each other, Space Jam.
Oh, God, no.
Space Jam!
If I never remembered Space Jam again, I would have been fine. Thanks.
Is that what made you not fine, Rob? That one thing made you not fine?
Oh, there's a list.
Yeah, I was about to say, of everybody on this podcast, I think we all have multiple reasons why we're not fine.
Oh my God, yeah. We have dictionaries full.
Yeah, not even the urban kind.
I know.
But, all right.
Well, we'll save that for the fun fest.
Dear God.
Yes, we can have a game called Pick the Psychoses.
We have a game what is it? Norwegian death metal band or mental disability. And then you get bonus points if you can guess which of us has it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh my God.
Now you can play it like Joker's Wild where you just spin and you end up on one and you have to guess.
Yeah, it would be multiple choice with many of us.
God. Yes. I'd be on most of them too. That rocks, really? No.
I'm a little surprised that's not rocks.
It's like Psychosis Bingo and Rocks. You're the free space.
I am. Yes. I will do that.
Do you agree with the psychosis or do you disagree?
Oh God! All right. Well, we should all run away because I need to pee, and that is something to run away from. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Jesus. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
And here's Dakota.
What?
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 What's saying?
What is happening?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Ooh.
That's a bit of a mixed reference there.
I know.
All I can say is this is podcasting gold.